Yeah.
Ocean Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia Euro Forum call, and it is Thursday, March 18th, 2010. Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Hello, hello.
Hi there.
Well, what's happening? What's going on in the world?
Has
France burned yet? I actually had two people on my Mindcom site from France yesterday, and I found a link. I went into my Google Analytics and found it, a French website that appears to have something to do with the politics of the Jews. Yeah, you know, I can't really read French, but I could. It seems like it says Understanding Jewish Politics is the name of the site.
Oh.
And I could get the link. But I was really surprised to see that. And 44 people visited my website, my Mindcom site, through that website.
Oh? And
I thought that was great.
That's encouraging.
Did Bill tell you, Judith, you went the wrong way with the time? We should have really been phoning at 4 o'clock.
Should we?
Yeah, it's 2 p.m. here right now, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
I sit and work one way or the other. Only about 3 people came into the chat that had to come back.
The two of them
made it. I know that. I didn't see the other 7 guests. I only saw one guest. I don't know.
I thought it was spring forward, fall back. So that's why I went on an hour.
Yeah, well, if we spring forward and you haven't changed your clock yet, then we get 4 hours away instead of 5, right?
So you have to go back.
Of course, yes.
You told me 6, and I didn't even think about it when you told me that. I should have realized it, but I'm always multitasking and a lot of stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nah, it's not your fault. It's okay. We have 3 hours, basically, because I had figured on no more than 5, and I've been waiting since noon, and that's okay. I got 2 hours working.
That's fine. Oh, dear.
So what's happening? Chris told me he experimented a little with the new Ensign site.
Sure.
How's that working out? You like that new site, or...?
Yes, we
had a little look at it, and we thought you'd done a good job, Bill.
Yes.
Okay. We'll get a lot more in the coming months. I think by summer this will be a real nice site.
And yes.
It'll be fairly, I don't want to say complete, because I got a lot of documents to put up there, but it'll be a lot further along than it is now. Nothing happened. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Nice.
Even though Pilgrim has done so much work, I can't believe how quick she got all those documents up on that Wesley Swiss site.
Which site is she working on your
the Swift
camp
site? No, the Swift site.
Oh, the Swift site, yeah.
Yeah, it's just about complete. Well, what's the material that I have to put on it?
I was just going to tell Bill I've got about, I think it's about 25, 30 Eustace Mullins books to send down.
Yeah, that would be great. They'll go on a new Ensign site.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Bill, if you're also doing Gerald's site, and that's going to be massive, and that's going to be under the auspices of Christogenia, how big can all this get?
How big? Well, I don't have,
Do you have a limitation?
Well, no, I don't have any limitations.
I didn't mean you personally.
No, I mean, my sites can get as big as I can grow them. I mean, Christogenia, on the hosting account, I'm about to, well, this summer I'm going to move it up to a server, to my own server.
And what's the advantage of that?
Well, the advantage of that is that I'll have a lot more control over my server environment, and I'll be able to do some, and I'll have a lot more space, and I'll be able to do some things that I can't do now.
All right. Okay.
You know, like right now, I can't have a, I can't run processes in the background. So I want to have my own 24/7 chat rooms and things like that that I can't do right now.
Right.
So, we have a replacement for TalkShoe that we're looking at just in case anything happens with TalkShoe.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good.
And we can't. We have to have a backup system.
Yeah, you always got to have a plan B.
Yeah, well, we have a plan B now. And we can implement it tomorrow if we had to.
Oh. But
we have a way to implement it tomorrow if we had to. But I want to implement it on Krista Genninger, and to do that, I have to upgrade to a server. But my website, what it costs me to operate my websites will go up dramatically, but it's still doable.
Right.
So that's my next step. And I have to look into a lot of things concerning migration to a server before I just take the leap, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure there are many ramifications.
Yeah, there's a lot of technical issues. But, I mean, the way Krista Genninger is, I mean, as far as, you know, I only have about half my file space consumed. I have about 120,000 files online. With all my sites, and I got room for 250.
Okay.
And a lot of those files aren't, you know, documents. Most of those files are actually programs and things that the database programs I use operate on, you know.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Probably only about 30,000 of those files are documents, if I had to guess. and that's enough. But,
that's an enormous amount.
Yeah, well, yeah, it, and they're not all visible yet. You know, they're not all posted yet, but they will be. I have a tremendous amount of Mein Kampf material I have to sift through and look at too yet, because I only want the best revisionist material. I don't want any of the iffy garbage. Yeah, you know, not all of it's going to make it online, but I have a ton of material.
Yeah.
And what I need is a wife that's a cook and a secretary. No, I'm kidding. I'm not really kidding, but.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I find the same when June isn't here. I spend a lot of time making a meal, and then you have to go out and do some shopping to get something to eat, and it all takes time, and then keeping up with your mundane household chores, you know.
We, when you were talking, we had the oldies in the background again, Chris.
Oh, can you put your phone down again soon?
It was only when you were talking. It's weird. I didn't hear it when you weren't talking. When Judith was talking, I didn't hear it.
Well, she was listening, and as soon as she picks it up, it, makes a noise. Oh, yeah.
And we lost Judith. She hung up.
June, are you there?
I do not.
You say Judith's gone?
Yeah, we lost Tia Teffy. She hung up or something. I don't know.
Oh, I thought she was on as a guest. Oh, yeah, she's...
I thought she had something specific she wanted to talk about this program. I don't.
She will come back.
Yes, I'm sure she will, hopefully.
And we have to sort out a list of links to put on, you know, to other websites.
Yeah, right.
The other thing I was going to ask, I did send some YouTube, I think there are 7 YouTubes of Eustace Mullins giving a lecture, but I don't know if there's any way of joining them up into one instead of having them sort of 10-minute segments.
Well, I'm sure there is, but I don't have the video editing equipment to do that, the software to do that.
No, I don't.
I'm sure it exists, but I don't have it.
I've got a sort of video editing suite, and it does seem to do import all files except for FLV files.
I don't have any video editing software. I haven't had a need for it. I haven't looked. I mean, I know it exists. I know, you know, people make videos for me, so they have to have video editing software, right?
Yeah.
But I haven't. I really haven't.
And on those, you can save it in different formats, but for some reason, you can't save it in a Flash format or import it as a Flash format.
Oh, you know, there were some real media files I don't have a converter for.
No.
I do have a converter for them, but the converter will only go up to 12 minutes, and then it cuts out. And it won't convert more than 12, and they want like $30, $40, $50. I don't know how much dollar. They want money for the software. And I guess once you pay the money that maybe it'll do more than 12 minutes. I don't know. They didn't say anything explicitly. But I've been looking for a freeware way to convert these real media files, and I haven't found one yet. So I'll keep looking. It's got to be. There has to be one out there somewhere.
It's a long story.
Can you only play it in one format? It's FL Flash.
No, I could play any format, but I prefer either Flash or MP4.
Right. Oh, she is back again.
But I can't, you know, I don't like to put anything. I really don't like to put anything but Flash or MP4 up on my site. Because I don't like having to use the Microsoft plugins. And a lot of people with Linux machines don't have those plugins. And a lot of people with older machines, they don't work right. Everybody has a double flash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's I'll put MP4s. I'll link MP4s. But I don't think there are any MP4s on Christigenia. Or to my
Well, actually, I think I sent one down to you.
No. If you sent me an MP4, I converted it to Flash before I put it up.
All right.
And I download MP4s from YouTube all the time, but when I want to post them, I always convert them to Flash.
Have got a converter to do
that. Well, I can convert anything to Flash except these darn real media files. Yeah, you know, I got the Macromedia Flash converter. Works pretty good, but it doesn't do real media.
Yeah, and you say that only works for 10 minutes.
Yeah, right. The software I found only works. It works for about 11 and a half, 12 minutes, and then it cuts out. So I got to either find better software or pony up to $30, $40, whatever they want. I'd rather try to find something free, you know.
Yeah.
That's let the big companies pay money for their software. I mean, not that I have bought some softwares since I got home. And once or twice I even regretted that. But
was there quite a few of those sort of media software companies in Germany? I don't know if Mavi knows of them. I did have one for cleaning up audios that works quite well called Magic X. Has anybody been able to do any work on the Swift tapes? Because some of those are pretty noisy.
Well, I know some of them are pretty noisy, but they're the best I got.
Yeah.
You know, I
did do a few myself, cleaning them up, you know, with audio cleaner.
Okay.
How does that work?
Well, I mean, you can, there's an advanced one. I just use the automatic one, and sometimes most of them it does quite a good job. It's only a lot different than when you started.
Oh?
Yeah.
Are you referring to Magix?
Magix.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? Oh, the Lab 15.
I can't remember which one I've got now.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because it works quite well. Actually, it's gone up at a 2. I think they've got an updated one, but I haven't invested in that yet. But I think it's something we need to look into. And Bill and I were discussing, you mentioned some spelling mistakes in the Compre titles. Well, as I guessed, Bill confirmed it, that the reason for that is that it's come direct off the file names, which are just sort of, when I put them into a file name, I'm not, you don't check on the spellings, you just have it as a file,
Oh, right.
So Bill said that's a job we can get on doing, because I check, because I thought I'd better check, because sometimes if you alter the title, it upsets the hyperlink, but Bill said it, it's okay to alter the title and it'll still link.
Right, okay.
Well, I generated all those HTML code that I use to link in all those PDF files. I generated automatically with a couple of DOS commands and a couple of find replace commands in a word processor. I mean, the whole process takes about 6 minutes. And otherwise, to type in a thousand links by hand, it is going to take a couple of days, right? I can do it in 6 minutes with some DOS commands and a couple of find replace commands in a word processor. And that's how I did it. So that's why those titles look like they do. But they're easy to clean up now because, all you have to do is go in and replace some dashes with spaces and fix some spelling and hit save. And it's just a matter of getting the time to do it. But I mean, you could read the name and basically see what it's about. That's all that matters.
Well, the English probably won't worry. They probably think it's an American way of spelling.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
This could easily be.
But maybe that's what Alison Porter is really upset about.
Have you heard from her again?
No, I haven't, and I don't care to. I mean, if she, I'm going to get ruder with her as time goes on. I hope she's listening. I hope she's one of those guests. I don't yet. What she's doing is just it's wrong. So, I don't care what she thinks, and I don't care whose sensibilities, whose feelings I hurt. Yeah, I'm not in this game for people's feelings. I'm in this game to get the word out and to get the truth out and to try to attract some of my brethren to it. I don't care about what people think.
She's the English version of Troublemaker.
Evidently, I mean.
Yes, the last thing she wants is for the word to go forward or to be accessible.
The
best way to deal with these people is just to ignore them. Don't send them any information and don't accept any information from them. And then
but they seem to find us, which that's the problem.
We've all to be of the same mind and just exclude them.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly the thing to do, June.
Yeah.
That's exactly the thing to do. But when when they approach or accost us, then I have to confront them. That's the way it is.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't go chasing after my adversaries. That's what Jews do. But when my adversaries show up in the room, they're going to hear about it.
That's
the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill, I was appalled on Sunday. I came in an hour late to the show because of the time misunderstanding. And then I saw somebody from the UK side saying what he did say in the chat room.
Oh,
I just couldn't believe it.
I got a new name for him. He's the Talk Show Town Drunk.
Oh, right.
That's my new name for him.
Right.
Because I think one time I heard him speak on our program, and it sounded as though he had an American accent rather than a UK accent.
Well, basically, he's bitter with me.
Oh.
And you know, I treated him a little flippantly. I'm going to admit that. But I think he deserved it because the man is a serial whiner. All he ever does is whine.
Yeah.
I never get an email from him. I never get an email from him with a suggestion. I never get
nothing
an email
positive
from him with, you know, asking me, hey, why don't you do this, or hey, why don't you... I'm a really approachable guy, and I think all you people know that.
Mm.
Sure.
Email me, and I'll do what I can, you know? I don't fight with people.
Yeah.
Well, basically, somebody showed up in my forum, and the guy's a good Christian guy, and I know his family, I know his brother-in-law personally. We spent some time together, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And they're good Christian people, and they're zealous of the word. But he happens to think that cannabis can save us. If that's what he thinks, I'm not going to argue with him. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I understand that the government position on the hemp plant and the cannabis plant is just wrong.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, it's absolutely wrong. So I'm not going to even if I disagreed with him, I'm not going to chastise a brother over that position of his.
No,
that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So Dave UK went he went whining that somebody in my was allowed to join my forum with that name. And if the guy's a good Christian man and he's sincere, I'm not going to prevent him from joining my forum with any name unless it was like something related to NAMBLA or the North American Man Boy Love Association or something. Yeah, you know, if it's not
that's different. Yeah,
if it's not profane, then of course I'm not going to exclude them. So rather than send me a private message, or rather than send me an email, Dave UK made a public post on my forum whining about me letting this guy join my forum, and asking how to delete his account, and he wanted to all his posts deleted. Well, I don't have all kinds of time to go to every one of this man's posts and lock them. But it wasn't fair to delete them, okay? And it's not fair to delete somebody's post from my forum because the posts don't belong to him and the posts don't belong to me. The posts belong to my forum because there's 30, 40, 50, 60 people in that forum that have read those posts, that have replied to those posts, have made responses to those posts, and it's not fair to them if you just delete them.
So what I did was,
instead of going to every post and locking it and then telling them, Dave, I'm not going to delete your posts, and I ain't got 2 hours to do that, I just banned his ass and told him, well, basically, you got what you wanted. You're banned, and I'm not deleting your posts, and I told him why. And he didn't like that.
He has been in Eli's chat room before now, and he actually posted that all British women were prostitutes, but he didn't use that word. He used something much worse. And it was totally uncalled for, totally untrue, such an exaggeration. And then he went on to mention his own personal predilections. And, you know, it was just out of place and quite offensive. So, you know, I think good riddance.
Exactly. And basically, I told him last Sunday that if I ever saw the man, I would turn him into a little girl, and I will. But I don't think he'd have the balls to step in the same state with me. He's not a Christian. He's a despiser of his brethren. He's a serial whiner. All he does is whine, and he has some serious personal problems. And you know, a man with serious health problems and a serious addiction to alcohol like he has should consider his behavior and his attitude and probably want to seek something better.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And there are people that I have a lot of love and respect for that are you know, to talk to him and sometimes defend him and communicate with him, and they're sometimes critical of me for the way I treated them. But, you know, this is a dog-eat-dog man's world, and some people just shouldn't be coddled, you know?
And he's using those tactics as well.
Yeah, right. Well, if he was in prison with me, if he was on the streets with me when I grew up, I'd have just knocked him out.
Yeah,
you know, there ain't no doubt. And maybe he would have learned something from it.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have learned a little humility or a little a little respect from it. Yeah, you know, that's what he needs.
Yeah.
In many ways,
he never added up because he didn't try and make contact with us.
And that doesn't add up. Right, exactly. And I even, when I first started talking to him, and I probably still have the emails, I told him that, you know, I was in contact with several brethren in Britain and Ireland, and maybe he'd like to make contact with some of them, and he never got back to me about that.
No. So it makes you wonder, really, what he was doing in our chat rooms.
And it's a shame, because he has made some good posts, and he is sometimes an intelligent guy. Yeah, you know, that has something to offer. And I'm serious. He's made some real good posts on my forum at times. But then on the other hand, half the time he's a whining little sissy. And all he does is complain. And he's bitter. And the man has some problems. So mm-hmm. I don't think I'm that hard a person to get along with. But I banned him from my forum just so he couldn't trash his posts, basically. Because I know he's the kind of little whining, bitter person that would just go do that sort of thing. I mean, that's my personal experience.
Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very strange people. That's the world of today.
if he could have, rather than make a public whining message on the forum about deleting his account because Cannabis Can Save Us showed up, all he had to do was email me and say, Bill, what's going on? I don't really agree with this. And I wouldn't have, I would not have censured Cannabis Can Save Us in any way. I'm not going to do that. But I would have explained to Dave my position and given him the opportunity to leave my forum in a gentlemanly sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the best.
But he didn't make that approach, so he chose to whine in public like a little girl, so that's how he gets treated.
He got his just desserts.
Yeah. And now he's very bitter about it. And
he went
complaining about me on other forums, and he has it in for me now. Well, I don't care. I don't know. I hate to think what I would do to him if he whined like that to my face.
I always think that the way you join things and the way you leave things is very important. You know, leave things, even if you disagree, in such a way that you've always got an opportunity to come back. But he obviously doesn't think like that.
Right. What really happened Sunday was I was sitting in Eli's forum, and I hate blowing up Eli's forum. I really do. I mean, some people might think I do it for sport, but I don't. I was sitting in Eli's forum, and Clayton Douglas walked in. Yeah, you know, the program was going on, and Clayton Douglas came in the forum, and he's been – Clayton Douglas is the subject of about two-thirds of William Fink versus the Paul Bashers.
Oh.
Are articles that Clayton Douglas wrote, and I won't countenance a Paul Basher. If I see a Paul Basher, I'm going to confront him immediately and tell him what I think about him. And when Clayton Douglas came in, it was my first opportunity to do so since I got home, and I wasn't going to let it pass. And I told Clayton Douglas immediately what I thought about him, and I called him some unseemly words like moron and idiot, but and there was another guy in the forum that's a friend of Douglas's named Waterman.
Yes, I saw him, yeah.
But we basically, I told him I was going to bitch slap him. I think it was terrible. But basically, we had words and we had a heated discussion, but it reached the point where it And it was a good thing, I think, where it got conciliatory rather than bitter, and that was good. But Dave UK, he went the bitter route. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. he used that opportunity to start attacking me.
Yeah.
He used my
He's probably been imbibing too much, do you think, Bill?
Oh yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. It's St. Paddy's Week, you know, or St. Patrick's Year or something. I think he's Irish and doesn't want to admit it or something. Nah, actually Dave is he used that opportunity to start attacking me, and that's when Judith noticed. But actually it worked out for the better, because I had Douglas offered me to come on his program, and I'm going to be on it on the 30th talking about Paul of Tarsus. I'm going to be on Blog Talk Radio on Clayton Douglas's program on the 30th.
Well, talking about Paul is
that's great news.
So maybe I'll be able to make my points in a scholarly manner, which is what I always hope to do.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, most of them base their arguments on faulty translations in the King James.
And the accusations of the Jews. All Paul bashing comes from the Jews. They were the first Paul bashers.
Sure. Yeah.
And when you look at all the Paul bashing material around today, it can all be traced back to Jacqueline Prince, John Spahn, or Joseph Jeffers. And Joseph Jeffers thought his wife was the Holy Spirit.
Says it all.
Yes, that says it all.
Oh.
He made public statements to that effect. His wife was the Holy Spirit. That says it all. Joseph Jeffers is a blasphemer, and he's dead, deservedly so. He's a blasphemer, and he still has a cult following. And there's actually some people that claim to be identity, like Judy Nips and Athena and Russell Walker and clowns like that, that are followers of Joseph Jeffers.
Right.
And I think Finlay of South Africa, I think he's dead now. He was an anti-Paul man. Although he did some good articles on other things, he certainly got it wrong there.
Well, most of the Paul bashers do good articles on other things, but they're idiots. I mean, they're Paul bashers.
Yeah.
And basically, Finley is Finley publicly admitted getting his Paul bashing material from the distinguished rabbi, Jacqueline Prince. Now, in my book, I mean, I'm a Christian. There's no such thing as a distinguished rabbi.
Yeah.
If a rabbi's moving his lips, he's lying. That's what a real Christian should think.
And that's what distinguished rabbi.
That's correct. Yeah.
That should be the real Christian attitude. And if I was a Finley follower, as soon as he mentioned the phrase distinguished rabbi, if he didn't mean it sarcastically, I'm out of there. That's all I
have. It's an oxymoron, isn't it? Or an oxymoron, however you want to say
it. It's absolutely an oxymoron. And you'd have to be an oxy-idiot to mention it.
Yeah, strange man.
I understand that it was only in the latter part of his life that he went on the Paul bashing thing. And in his latter part of his life also, he was in ill health. So I wonder if there was a bit of mind control and drugs, you know, that he was sort of conditioned to do those
things. Well,
sort of
those things can weaken a person. They can weaken the spirit. They can. There's no doubt.
You know, upset his intellect, can't they?
Yes, I'm persuaded they can. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody who's a Paul basher can't be studied. Cannot be on a firm intellectual foundation.
And
well,
course,
I've been working on it.
Of course, that's one of their best things, because somebody who's been preaching good material and correct material and built up a good following, if they can, you know, just alter him through drugs or whatever, well, then they've changed, they have a big effect on Christianity.
Right, and it's important to keep yourself as healthy as possible and for as long as possible so that you don't succumb to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm blessed with pretty good health and I'm in pretty good shape, but I pray that I'm not, tested with that because I don't know which, you know, we never know whether or not we're going to pass or fail such a challenge until the day we're confronted with it.
I think the main thing is to keep away from doctors as long as you can.
Well, right, and I haven't been to a doctor since I'm 19, and that was probably a mistake.
And if you do, you certainly don't have any injections.
Yeah, and my biggest... My only real dietary flaw is chocolate. I love chocolate. I can
don't tell June that.
It must be an Anglo-Saxon thing, because I'm a chocolate freak. I can eat chocolate all day, and sometimes I do.
Hmm.
Any kind of chocolate, it don't matter. White, chocolate, milk, it don't matter.
No, I think it's my favorite food.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be. I'm looking at a little plate full of Hershey's nuggets right now.
You've never tasted Belgian chocolates and French chocolate. That's
well,
nothing
on
them.
Well, yes, I have. I used to at one time in my life I could afford those things.
Yeah.
And I could buy them all the time. You know, that was the years before I went away.
Yeah.
So, Judith, I thought you had some sort of topic you wanted to discuss today. I don't.
Well, I've always got something. I frequently come across you making almost throwaway remarks at the weekend, Friday, Saturday shows when we're going through whichever book we're doing, about the spirit that is within the Israelites, within us, that we're born with it.
Yeah.
I believe yes. And Paul...
No, I understand all that. But I often think that you're implying sometimes that, and you might have been, that spirit, well, that person will have eternal life, no matter what they have done in this life.
Right, I believe that.
Right.
I think what the Bible says, if you've done certain things, you won't be able to enter into the kingdom here on earth.
Well, you won't be able to enter into the kingdom, but look at Revelations 22:15. The city
right.
of God. And there's still dogs and whores and fornicators.
On the outside.
On the outside. But all the Canaanites are already thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, they're all gone. They're not the dogs and the whores on the outside. We are.
That's, yes. You know, sometimes it's difficult to unlearn things that have been beaten into your head for
a long
time.
And my contention is only to, I would think that my position is correct only because I have to reconcile those scriptures, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the way I look at it. In Revelation 22, I mean, the devil and death and hell and all the Jews and all the goats, they're already in a lake of fire. But there's still people outside the city.
Right.
So I would imagine that they must be Adamites who rejected the word, who rejected the gospel and chose to continue to sin instead.
Right. Okay,
that
makes sense.
That's
what I
believe from that scripture. I'm not that we don't have a whole lot of information on the topic. You know what I mean?
So in John chapter 1, you did a paper on verses 11 to 13. Now, I understand what you argued in that paper perfectly, and I agree with it. Would you expand a little then on let me check it, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become.
It doesn't
say that. It's not sons, it's children. But I'll read your translation. and I want to query that. I want you to expand on the one phrase in that. Verse 12, your translation. But as many who received him, he gave to them the authority which children of Yahweh are to attain.
Right.
Could you just expand on, he gave to them
first, they're already the children of Yahweh. The children of Israel are already the children of God. Adam is born, Adam is created the son of God, Luke 3:38, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So it seems to me that nobody becomes the sons of God. Okay? And that verse, it can actually be translated either way, because the accusative and nominative case in the word techna is ambiguous.
Yes, it could be plural, couldn't it, techna also?
Well, right, but it could be the same, it's in the same form, whether it's nominative or whether it's
accusative.
And that's, you know, a peculiar trait of several Greek words, and that's one of them.
That's right.
Okay, so now if we take it as the accusative, then we have to translate it to become children of God. But that's contrary to Scripture, to other Scripture. So I can't read it as an accusative. I have to read it as a nominative and say that the children of God are going to attain. And they're going to attain what? The power that the children of God are to attain. That's what they're going to attain. And that word is used grammatically. In my notes, I cite several passages where the word is used in the same exact way. Once in the Acts and once in Maccabees.
Yes, you do. I read that. Yeah.
And it's the same form of the verb. And it's used in the same way that I use it there, that I interpret it there.
Right.
So I believe that's what it says. Otherwise, we have a problem. Otherwise, if my reading is incorrect, then we have a conflict with Scripture. And the Judeos enjoy that conflict because they take advantage of it to universalize Scripture.
Yeah.
I've always had problems with this verse because knowing that we have the Spirit from conception.
Yeah.
I was trying to get my head around what it was in addition that we were obtaining, that word authority, you know, power or whatever it is, in addition to what we already had. But I know it says to those who received him, that must mean acknowledge him, believe.
Right, the others reject him, but they're not children of God in the first place.
But we are, and I was trying to understand what we were attaining in addition to what we were already born with.
That power that the children of God should have. What did the apostles have? They had the power to heal people.
No.
So
right?
in what way does that manifest itself in us then, if that's what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, that was a deposit of the Spirit, as Paul explains. That ability to heal people, and at the end of days, we will have that power.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
When the full restoration takes place, we will have that ability. We will have no more sickness and no more death.
That's what it's referring to.
I believe so.
Ah, that's
that
it. I was thinking of here
as
now
many
in
who
this moment
received
in time.
Him. At that time,
right.
To those people, he gave the power that the children of Yahweh are to attain.
Yeah.
Okay, so the apostles and the disciples that received him, that accepted him, at the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on them. And they obtained that power.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all John's talking about. It's not a statement for us. It's a historical statement that actually happened at that time. That's what he said.
Right.
And as many who received him, to them he gave the power that the children of Yahweh are to attain at some point in the future.
In future.
Right.
Okay? But they got it then. because
yeah.
they received him. So
yeah.
they
yeah.
had the Spirit descend on them, and they received that hint of a restoration. That's what the deposit of the Spirit is.
Yeah.
It's the hint yeah. of the restoration.
Salvation.
Yes, it is.
It's
yeah.
what we have to look forward to as Christians.
Right. Yes. I misunderstood because I'd misunderstood the tense there. That's
well,
right.
Yeah, right. You have to
yeah.
understand the context.
Yeah.
That's the context.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
now
there's supporting statements. You know, there's Luke 10:18, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy.
And then, that's right. And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the deposit of the Spirit that Paul talks about all the time.
Yes, that's cleared that up. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you understand what I said in the next verse about the from blood and from blood?
Yes, yes, and now that's so important because the King James has really deliberately mistranslated that, hasn't it?
I don't think they could have understood it. I don't
know. No, they probably didn't.
Didn't understand it, yeah, that's probable.
That they didn't
I mean,
understand
it's so clearly plural, bloods.
Right, and the only way that makes sense is to see how it was used that one time in the Old Testament is the only place it appears like that. And
yes.
it's talking about race mixing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that my translation of those three verses are very controversial, to say the least. But I can I'll defend them. I'll talk about them anytime.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
That's why I wrote that paper, just on those three verses.
Yeah. Now, I think it's
yeah,
such an
yeah,
important
yeah.
paper.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm waiting for my tea to boil.
I'm just straight.
You better.
I need my afternoon tea. And it lasts until about 3.
Come down the line, too, but
my afternoon tea lasts until about 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Bit like
me. You mean drinking tea, cups of tea?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a tea.
Ah,
I'm a tea.
I thought you were a coffee person.
In the morning, I am. I
yeah.
drink 2 cups of coffee in the morning and sometimes more. I've really cut back. I used to drink a pot and a half in the morning. And I since February, I really cut back, and I'm down to 2 cups.
That's
always, yeah. always thought Americans never only drunk
yes.
coffee. And
yeah.
Are you kidding? I love Twinings English breakfast tea.
Oh.
I've
yeah,
been hooked
yeah.
on that since I'm about 20, I swear.
That's good.
Twinings, however you say it. I don't.
Yeah.
And Matthew, Bavarian man's an expert on tea making. He keeps us supplied with tea when we go to the German meetings, much to the amazement of all the other Germans there.
Yeah, I've always been a coffee in the morning, tea in the evening person.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's
right.
That's
yeah.
how it should work.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, a cup of tea gets me out of bed in the morning, whether it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's that cup of tea. So to me, it's perfect at that time of day.
Well, your husband gets it for you, does he?
You're
well, you get up at 5 or 6 o'clock, I'm usually not.
A very good husband would bring his wife a cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah.
If you get up
and then it's espressos after that, espresso coffee, which you can stand your spoon up in.
I usually haven't gone to bed yet at that hour.
I think I noticed because one morning I switched my computer on about 5 o'clock and I went to make my tray of tea. When I came back, there was this little Skype notice which
yeah,
said,
yeah.
hi there, from you, Bill, wasn't there? So.
I thought you didn't go to bed, Bill, because you always seem to be on the computer.
Yeah, I go to bed from about 3 to about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
That's still see 5 to 6 hours. Huh.
That's it. If I get that, I'm lucky. And if I try to sleep more than 6, I usually can't.
Oh, lucky you.
Sometimes I feel like it's unlucky me. Nah, that's okay. I don't want to sleep. I feel guilty if I sleep 7 hours. I really do. And that only happens about once a month, but I hate it. And when I was younger, I only slept 5 hours a night every night. It's that. A lot of nights it was only 4. So I've slowed down.
Yeah, but then you must have been sleeping from the earliest moment on, so that you're just going in bed and you're off, sleeping 5 hours, and then you're coming up. And
yeah, I had
nothing,
fortunately. Once upon a time, I had a king-size waterbed, and I'd hit that thing around 2 in the morning, and I'd get up at 6 in the same position I went to bed in. That thing was
great. Yeah. There you are.
Those days are gone, too, but that's all right.
I've got waterbeds here, and they're really superb. You never need a hot water bottle.
Yeah, right. Just turn the heater up a little.
I don't think
I've seen a hot water bottle since the 60s. I'm being honest. Today, most people use chemicals, I think, you know. They just rub Bengay on instead or something. I don't know. I haven't seen a hot water bottle in 30 years. 35 years.
Well, I always think a waterbed is just a large hot water bottle because they're quite warm, aren't they?
Yeah, I used to love
that. But they retain the heat, or do you heat it up electrically?
It has to be continually heated, which is why it's probably not that healthy for you.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. You have to keep my waterbed had a large electric pad that went under
That's right.
They plug in all the time, and there was a little regulator on the side of the bed, and in the winter we'd have to turn it up a little.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you can't sleep. It'll be, if you sleep on a waterbed without that, it will be ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It takes about 3 days to warm, reheat again if somebody is foolish enough to turn it off.
Yes, it does.
Oh.
You know, I've had guests who thought, instead of turning it down, they've turned it off. And, you know, it sort of gets progressively colder until it's impossible to sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we like turning it down in the summertime.
Oh, yes, you do need to do that. Yes, absolutely.
I would have thought water and electricity sleeping on it might be a dangerous combination.
If it's going wrong, yeah.
Yeah.
This Gustloff Catastrophe by Karen, this looks good. This document's perfect.
Yeah, I thought I'd put that on instead of, you know, that test rubbish that was on there, you know. But I say there is a photograph. It's only a picture. It's rather small of the sinking of the Gustav. But,
we'll have a section for commentary. You know, I'm going to make a section for commentary. I'll do that soon. That will hold like a lot of our almost like a blog. Yeah, you know, I'll use the blog interface to do that probably.
Okay.
And maybe I could put a forum up there too. I could put a forum up.
That would be a good idea.
A forum built into the site.
Long as Allison doesn't get on there.
Well, I don't care if she does, you know. I would like to engage with her because I don't know about upgrade, but I would probably want to try to correct her on some of her biblically inconsistent doctrines. You know?
Yeah. That's best.
Well, she's
you know,
a
engagement
fan of,
can only be a good thing.
She's a fan of Peters, so that'll give you an idea.
Oh,
yeah, the serial Negro lover. Well, maybe she should go hang out on the streets downtown in London at night and see how much she likes Negroes after a few months of doing that.
Yeah.
Or wherever your bad section is there, I don't know.
It's not the bad section, Bill. It's the good section we are looking for.
Well, I mean, to suggest to Allison maybe where she should be hanging out at night, if she wants to really know what the alien people are like. It's nice to be a universalist when you live in an all-white community in a suburb somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's easy to be a universalist.
I've been thinking about what we were saying about what Yeshua said. You'll be able to stand on scorpions and serpents without them doing you any harm. I don't think he meant the ones that creep along the ground.
No, he didn't.
He was thinking about the people that he had originally called you vipers and serpents.
Well, what was the line right before that in Luke? I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And behold, I've given you power to tread on scorpions and serpents. It's all about the people.
Yeah.
It's all about the race of Cain.
The snakes in suits.
Yeah, that's what that
whole thing's about. He's not suddenly changing the topic from Satan to snakes in the grass.
Yeah.
But of course, people who believe they have that power, haven't they?
Well, absolutely. And if you withstand the devil in righteousness, the devil flees from you. Isn't that in the writing? Isn't that in Peter or Paul or something? I don't really know.
That's what the scorpion does. When he thinks that you're looking, he turns and bites. And this is what the two-legged ones do. If you think they can get the upper hand, then take it.
Yeah, that's what my translation says. And he said to them, I beheld the adversary falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given to you adversary to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. Well, the serpents and scorpions are the enemy. They're the children of the devil. That's what he's saying there.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think Judith passed something on to me about... an emblem on some of the police forces' lapels having lightning on them. A symbol of Satan.
I don't know how I would take that. In ancient pagan mythology, lightning was the province of Zeus, the thunder god, which Yahweh is often equated to, even in the minds of comparative religion majors in major universities. Which I think Zeus is only a caricature of Yahweh invented by the Greeks after they departed from the body of Israel.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, so now it's time to.
We tend to make caricatures of the truth in our common folklore.
I'm just going to log in again.
Oh yeah, logging in.
Yes, because the TalkTalk phones run for 59 minutes free, and then you start to pay. So therefore, you have to log out and come in again and start the call again on that same basis. Otherwise, it becomes quite expensive.
I would say, yeah.
But I would have thought there ought to be a way around it, but there isn't, so...
Yeah.
We have to do that every 59. Well, I don't know, it's 1 hour, 9 minutes, or 59, but that's why he's doing it.
Yeah, it's in any country stringent and different. Yeah, I have just full size. I can stay as long as I want.
But this, you know, it's free, so it seems to be a good deal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. The interesting point is that in Germany I'll pay just 8 euros, that is some $10, and I can talk at any time of the day, and the night,
yes,
as long as I want.
Right.
But it was an offer by the telephone company. They called me. They asked, are you going to stay with us instead of going to cable so-and-so and another network and what the devil ever? I said, what for? I said, I once did it, and I was only in problems. So I said, I'm coming back, and I'll stay. I have no reasons to go away. But are you going to stay then for the next 2 years? I said, sure. Why not? I have no reason to change. And it works. Oh,
yeah.
Well, we have done an offer. Whether it's a normal offer, I don't know. I took it for €8 extra per month. So I can call as long as one within Europe and is the United States. But that's all I need. So I'm pretty pleased.
That's a good deal.
Taken on the whole, how such is fun. Yeah. To me, it's always strange when in reality it's something like ridiculous. If you are 5 hours on the telephone or so, it costs you nothing extra. Somewhere, somebody has to pay for it. I don't understand such. But mostly there is such a dirty background about all these things, so I have to lift up my shoulder and say, okay, I get the offer, I'll just do it, whatever. I have no other choice. But I'm pleased with it, so yeah, what shall we do? Yeah. My friends know it. And when I have a phone call with the Netherlands, and I have friends of mine who don't have such an income, then I simply go and say, you call me at the time you need, and you stop the call, and I'll call you in. So it's cheaper from my side to do it the other way around.
That's right.
Oh, they said, that's a good idea. Why not?
Oh, by the way, Bill, Sussex Manning is back. Could you unmute him, please?
Okay, done deal.
Here he is.
Thank you.
Here he is again. Yeah. Oh, yeah, concerning that tea. Huh? Yeah, what I was bringing in that was English breakfast tea mixed with, about a third, maybe a quarter, no more, of the same contest with Lapsang and Kushong tea from China. And that mixture, that works fine. I have it all over the years. So as long as I'm here, I have it. Because I'll obtain it in the Netherlands, but I can't get it here.
Did you
I
say
have to
Lapsang
go to the Netherlands
Kushong?
Once in a year, I'm a week or so in the Netherlands. Lapsang Kushong.
Is that what you said?
Lapsang? Yeah, Lapsang Kushong.
Yes. Yeah,
Chinese
I just missed it. Yeah, that's fine. It's very good.
Yeah. It's very good tea. This is English breakfast.
And you have to use a warmed teapot in good china and teacups to get the best taste from it.
That's the best, yeah.
I wouldn't drink out of a cup from China. I'm sorry. I can't do it. The teacup I have is made right here in Chenango County where I live.
Okay.
Oh, I thought everything in America was made in China.
No, everything that I could get my hands on is homemade.
I may not be able
to buy a computer monitor that's not made in China, but I could buy a cup that's not made in China.
Well,
I was in Niagara Falls in Canada back in, this is 1988, and I'm in a souvenir shop with my wife. And I turn and I see these nice mugs that say Niagara Falls. You know, we always buy stuff like that. And I turn it over, and it's made in Korea. And I asked the lady, I said, hey, why would I come all the way to Niagara Falls, New York, to buy a cup made in Korea? I could stay home and do that. And she just looked at me. And my wife found one that was made in England, so I settled on that. And it was 1988. They were still made mugs in England somewhere. I don't know where in England. But it's made in England. And I bought that. I figure that's a lot closer to Canada than China is.
That's the worst thing
people could do is go to wherever they go, they buy souvenirs made in China.
Yeah.
Just go to China and buy all the souvenirs.
Yeah.
Buy them all.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah.
Well, in 2003, I went to America on a special little job. And, of course, I wanted to bring gifts home for my family and friends. And the American ladies were tremendous. You know, come along, we'll take you in. They took us to loads of these huge shops.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they said, haven't you bought anything yet? I said, no. I said, I haven't. I said, all I've ever picked up had on the bottom made in China.
Right.
My friends know I've come to America. Why am I going to take back Chinese souvenirs? And they were amazed. And I said, I told them then, I said, I blame Bill Clinton trailing off to China. I said, he sent all your work across there. And I said, what are you doing? Oh, well, there's not a lot of work available for us. You know, and I thought, well, what a country. I did bring six items home, and it had on the handles, made in the USA. And I've never wiped that off the handles. There were toilet brushes. And, I mean, that was a talking point on the holiday. You never guess what June's brought back. And that's what it was. They said, you'll never get them through the... You'll never get them through the customs. But I did. And there was a real proper shape to clean under the rim. So... but that was my experience of America in 2003, so it's got to be worse now. Yes, the people were just... They didn't seem to mind it.
They don't even think about it.
No, it was all to get, and that was... You know, I thought I couldn't be so complacent as that.
You go to Miami Beach and buy a mug, says Miami Beach, turnover made in China. And you go to Atlantic City and buy the same exact mug, but it says Atlantic City on it. And you turn it over and it's made in the same factory in China. That makes no sense at all.
Yeah, that's right.
An even worse thing, a few weeks ago, I think it was maybe this year, there was a special effort in Newcastle City because we were welcoming some of the troops who were back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And, they were presenting us with the little flag to wave, you know, all very patriotic. And they were all furled up and unfurled them and waved them. And when I got home, I thought, my goodness, I've been waving the English Union Jack upside down. They'd evidently been made abroad. And they had been pinned onto the stick the wrong way around. And I thought, what a dreadful thing to do, trying to be so patriotic and then not even realizing the flag was upside down.
Well, it's a distress signal.
it was a distress signal. We went not to support the war, but to support the troops who had been sent and the lucky ones who came home. But life isn't what it used to be.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a crazy world. Most people just don't think about what they're doing when they do it. It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, I remember.
And they certainly don't think about how it affects their kin, their country, their people. That's the last thing. Yeah. That's been totally removed from all Western consciousness.
Well, that's been the plan, hasn't it?
But it's on the mind of every Mexican and every Chinaman and every Negro, that's for sure. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I think we're in a good place because we've been trained. You have to look, you have to help the down and outs. So eventually it's got to come to be our turn because we are going to be down and out shortly in our own country, in this little country in Britain. There's not a lot of room here, you know. We haven't got the wide open space for it. But
Well, when it comes to Ayrton, nobody will help. I was looking at an email I got today about retired Brits who've foolishly gone to live in Spain. And they've obtained planning permission and built their properties over there, their retirement bungalows and things like that. And the Spanish authorities now have retrospectively deemed some of those planning applications were illegal. Some were, because it was massive fraud regarding regional government there. And they've had their properties bulldozed to the ground. And if they're fortunate, the garage might be left. And some have been living in their garages for the last couple of years. And the Spanish government and the European Union, of course, are not lifting a finger. So it just goes to prove that nobody's likely to help us when these things happen. Had it been the blacks who were having their properties bulldozed, there would have been a hue and cry.
Yeah, yeah.
I am sure. That's incredible.
It's just the scripture coming true. We used to be the head, now we're the tail.
Yeah, right.
And
exactly.
They have
come in and they've risen above us very high, and we've become very low. And it doesn't matter whether we're in our own country or somebody else's. It still works the same way. We have no consequence whatsoever.
Hello?
That's our only assurance. Yahweh loves us because we're His. I'd better be there than be top of the list on some of the terrible ones planned.
And that's exactly the right attitude, June. You have exactly the right attitude. It's wonderful. We have nothing coming except from Yahweh.
That's right.
That's everything when the day comes. As we usually say to friends, you know, that we get in conversation with, oh, I wouldn't worry, payday's coming. And we say, what do you mean? Well, everybody's got a day of reckoning. That's payday. Because, of course, in the Northeast, Friday was payday every week. You got your pay on a Friday and you had a whole week to spend it. Sometimes it didn't take a week. But you knew the payday was coming. Now it's on a longer term, but it's still the same. What you worked for, you get. What you deserve, you'll get. And because we have Yahweh in charge, we've got a lot to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, I'm still in problems with my arm.
Your arm?
Yeah, maybe you have noticed it, but every quarter of an hour you will hear something like a peculiar sound coming from here. That's the blood pressure meter. I have to check it every quarter of an hour to see whether the pressure is going down. And so far the upper pressure is indeed going down. So, but you have to be careful that your arm is located in a rest position, otherwise it's squeezed somewhere and then your recording is wrong. So, but at the moment the pressure is slowly going down. So I feel a lot better as in the beginning of the evening. That's why I'm so silent.
Yeah, we thought
you together down before I'm going. You're right. Yeah. But I have to be careful always, because if the pressure is going too high and is going over the 200, then I'm not sure whether I'm going to make it. But it's now back to 163, and that's okay. It's still too much to me, but it works for the time being.
What's your pulse, 63?
Yeah. After dinner, it was going up like... No. The upper limit of the pressure, that's the diastolic and the other one, systolic is the up one, and that's 163 now, 95, which is still too high, is the lower pressure, and the heart beating is 69. So that's all right. That is within reasonable limits. But that's because I was in the hospital, and they are trying to get my blood pressure down again. But we had to change the medicine because part of the medicine showed up that it's taking out my potassium level in the body. And that's it's a stupid problem. And that's what I had during the weekend, that the heart was going to run like an idiot. And that symptom center said, okay, I'll just go on to the hospital. And I came in there, and I showed them up what it was. It was still about 100, the pulse, far too high. And then they said them, okay, I know by experience by now that this must be, again, the potassium level being wrong. And I said, okay, we'll take the blood test, and we'll see what it is going to be. You better go here on the bed in the emergency room and just wait, and we'll check your paper and documents, information, all that sort of administrative materials. So I calmed down by the time, and slowly the pressure went down. But within half an hour, they were back with the laboratory information, and it was saying, Mr. Steffler, here, you have a glass, and it was bubbling from the tablet, the kalium tablet. He said, or kalium, but it's our stuff, it's your potassium. I said, you need to have it, for your level is far too low. You have to be in between the figures 3.5 to 5.2 in whatever size. And 3.5, I was at 2.8. That's far too low. So that's why I was in problems. And this was expectable. So they gave me an half a liter. That's about half. It's an eighth of a gallon, huh? Yeah. Of a quarter. A quarter is about a liter, and it was half a liter, so that's half a quarter. With the salt liquid, and that is potassium chloride. And that was dripping in a few hours. And after that, I was cured a lot better, and I felt a lot better. But that medicine is taking out that the water is to be drained in the proper way. It also takes my potassium, and then you're in problems. So that's why I was in the hospital for a few days. So they controlled the heart, and all was in good order, except the potassium level was so low. Yeah, so what? And they took off that part from the medicine. I got a new medicine, but I have to react, or I'm reacting on it, and blood pressure is still a bit too high. That's my problem right now, but I have to keep calm with it, and tomorrow morning I have to go to the hospital for picking up some documents, and then I'll tell them how the evening was, and I'll show them the registration, and maybe they will say, okay, back in bed again in the hospital. This could be.
Well, you probably...
But I'll see for it. I have some notes
from...
Well,
you've got Tia Taffy is muted at the moment, Bill.
Whoops.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, you know, this my talk show is on a Linux computer that sits next to me, and it's not right in front of me. So I'm sorry I don't see it right away.
Yeah.
But, Matthew, I would really suggest you probably look for Dorcas is here. Hello, Betty.
Oh, hello,
Betty.
And she's
hello,
not called.
Betty.
She's not called
hello,
in
hello,
yet.
Betty.
So I hope she could call in. And yes, I have your new email address, and I will use it soon, I promise. Well, Matthew, I would really strongly urge you to look for natural ways to alleviate your blood pressure problem. I mean, that's the best advice I have.
I think when Dorcas comes in, she'd be able to advise Matthew on a book to read about your body's need for salt. You know, when you go to the doctor for blood pressure, they say, cut the salt out.
That's correct.
It would get worse. But if you took some sea salt with your water, you would find
that your
blood pressure went down to normal.
I know the story.
Yes, and when you have low blood pressure, that is because there's a shortage of potassium. In Britain, that's called slow K, because K is the...
Kalium. It stands for kalium. Potassium.
Yeah, kalium.
It's the symbol for potassium. We learned that in chemistry. And so slow K husband used to take that in some water, and that kept him, his low blood pressure, just...
But Matthew's high blood pressure.
Yes, but when he has the potassium shortage, that's because that potassium has gone out and it has to be replaced. But anyhow, there's a better advice even than that, Matthew, and this is what we say. If the Lord has given you a job to do and you're willing to do it, he will keep you here to get on with the work. So that's my advice. And I found
Bill, could you unmute Dorcas?
Yes, great.
Please, thank you.
Hello, Betty.
Oh, there she is. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Great to hear
you. Hi
there. It's taken me since 6:05 to get in.
Wow, 20 minutes.
Oh.
It's dreadful. I don't know. And then I can't turn the sound off just now.
Oh, that's 1 hour and 20 minutes. Wow.
And then my daughter rang me.
If you
just a little while.
If you write down the phone number and the call ID, you don't have to be in the forum to call in.
Don't I?
No, ma'am. You can write down the phone number and the caller ID, and you do not have, and as long as you have that written down, you could get in. I mean, June got in many times without even a computer. And you don't have to be in the forum to call in.
Oh, well, if I get in this difficulty, I have got the numbers all written down.
Right. And the call ID is not going to change for this program. So,
no.
So you
Oh, well, I'll remember that in future.
Yeah.
I'll show up
you'll show up as a number on the screen, and we won't know who you are until until we let you talk. But that's okay.
No.
Dorcas can put a PIN number in, and then it'll come up as Dorcas, even though she's not doing it through the computer.
Well, right, that's another possibility, to go and put your PIN number into your telephone number as your PIN number into the TalkShoe profile.
Oh, right. Okay, then.
Mm. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
Is it? You've had trouble, have you, Judith?
Yes, I did initially, but then I decided to phone in and use my PIN ID, and therefore my name comes up as opposed to just being a guest.
I see. Right. Well, I'll remember that then. Well, I'm glad to hear someone else's difficulties because I feel such a failure, an utter failure. Oh dear.
Well, you've just come in time to advise Matthew to be very careful how he interacts with Western medical health care in terms of the treatment of his high blood pressure.
Oh, I should not go down that route. No, just change your diet. Change your diet. Go to a nutritionist. Change your diet. You've got to have more raw food and vegetables, not so much carbohydrate.
Main thing is to drink plenty of water.
The water.
And I know Bill, Matthew likes his wines, that's alcohols, and that sort of takes the water out of you, so you need to double compensate for that.
That's right. It's dehydrating him. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I drink lots of tea, but I drink water as well.
Lots of water as well.
Yeah. I have the tea as well. Even the English tea. Don't worry. But just at the moment, it's just a stupid problem is that I have that medicine, and it's a perfect medicine, I must say. There's nothing wrong with that. I have been now 8 years working and running on the time in a perfect way, except for the last few months that I have this peculiar problem. And that's why they said, okay, we will get you the better medicine. It's the same material, but better, without the subtractor of the potassium. That makes it better. But the body is still used to have the other way around. So the body is saying, yeah, but I don't like it. We have nothing to do with it. We have to make sure that we get it corrected in a normal, natural way. And she also warned me that we've got to take care of it. For the diet, it is normal. It is a standard thing. And I told her even that I'm having every week about 8 liters. That is, a gallon is from almost four. It's 2 gallons. Yeah, I'll say that's what it is about. 2 gallons of full milk. A real full, straight from the cow.
Well, maybe.
And that must be more than sufficient for.
Is that raw milk or?
It's not pasteurized.
It might not be doing you any good. The milk might not be doing you any good.
I had it all my life.
but I thought you said you heated the milk.
Yeah, sure. You have to.
It's not raw. You're damaging it.
Yeah.
You have to drink it raw.
But we know it from early childhood on that it was forbidden to have it unboiled. We always unboiled because it can't stay there for long.
Disinformation, you know.
You might say that it's a fable.
It denurtures the milk and it has a bad effect on your system. Since I've been, you know, I used to suffer from asthma badly, and since I tell you milk's bad for it, but since I've been having raw milk, my health's improved considerably.
I think we can always find what we're doing wrong when things like this happen. You've got to stop and think what it is that's causing it, you know, and what could possibly be causing it.
Because they like to say, oh, it's the germs in the milk, you have to do it for that. But the thing is, that's on the wrong premise, that it's the germs that are damaging you, but in fact, it's your immune system. And what you have to do is build up your immune system, and that
germs
takes care of the germs.
Germs are good more often than they're bad, I mean.
Yeah.
We need some bad germs in us once in a while to fix our immune system.
Yeah, to compensate, yeah.
To challenge our immune system.
Well, on the farm that I managed to buy, the printed label on it says that this product could be dangerous. The government tells us it could be dangerous. And I just thought, well, it hasn't done me any harm in years.
We got this far drinking raw milk.
And so
exactly.
The point is, they don't have on the bottles of pasteurized that this is guaranteed to be good for you, because they don't put that on, because it's not as good as the raw.
But
our
interesting
ancestors
thing
drank raw milk for 200 generations.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
But the interesting thing about raw milk is that somebody did a study of it and found it's only the Caucasian race that can digest it. And that's why they muck around with it to make it suitable for these other races. Otherwise, they would die off when they come to us.
Well, we should have nothing but raw milk.
And I mean, the promised land that Yahweh gave to his people was flowing with milk and honey. He wouldn't give them land flowing with something bad for you.
Yeah, they weren't pasteurizing it back then, I'm sure.
No.
That's right. And also, any drug preparations which you're going to get from the hospital, Matthew, none of those have been tested against cancer, because they can all induce cancer. So, again, it's better to go down the natural route. Rather than be dependent upon making the pharmaceutical giants, the medical mafia, more profitable.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you should seriously consider these things, Matthew. I'm not going to beat anybody over the head for going to see a doctor, but it's always...
Well, everybody has to make their own decisions. And...
Yes. Well, I'm.
I'm just silent for the machine.
Yes, I've escaped moving. Actually, I've got to go and see a doctor next week because I'm on their list, and you have to go and have a big medical, and it's awful. They tell me I've got this and that and high blood pressure and this, but their medicine would finish me off in no time, as I discovered last year, and I wouldn't trust doctors because we're not having English doctors anymore. I'm not saying that they're doing it, you know, but we've really got our enemies.
Well, that's what nationalized healthcare does. That's what nationalized healthcare does. You know, all these Pakistanis and these Indians, they went to school for next to nothing. And they'll work for $30,000 a year. They'll work for £30,000 a year. And if you're a white man and went to medical school in a white country, it probably cost $1 million to put you through medical school.
Yes,
so you're not going to work for $30,000 a year.
No.
And also, I understand in America, I think it was on the program I was listening to, saying they've got two standards of health passes now. They've got the board standard, which is the highest standard, which you have to study a long time. And then they've got the Flexi standard, which is an easy standard.
People who
and that's
pass the
one all the
coloured
people, immigrants take. And now that in America, they're giving preference to doctors who passed on the Flexi inferior exam over the skilled exam.
Yeah, they don't have to.
So in other words, they're trying to kill off the
get yourself
through the health scheme.
Absolutely. I should be very wary. Very wary.
I wouldn't let a doctor that's not a white man give me an aspirin.
No. I've learned the hard way. They nearly finished me off last year. I couldn't believe it, you know. I couldn't believe it. And even with the dentist, I've been to the dentist all afternoon. The reason being that the previous dentist that I had when I was in Clacton wasn't English. And I kept saying to the woman that there was a space between a crown and my tooth. And she wouldn't hear of it. She'd all know that's all right. And what I felt, that I've never had this feeling against people before, but now I feel that they left that there, so they know that I'll be back in 6 months. It's just that I've moved and I've had to go to a private dentist locally. Yeah. It's awful. They leave things so they know they're going to keep getting the trade coming in, and it's getting worse and worse.
That's right. It's the same.
Depended on business. That's what they do. I have a friend who's never away from the dentist. She's been going all her life.
And now I've had a letter to say they want to put my records in the public domain. So if anybody if you're a doctor who's called out, he can just click in. But I've got to make sure that they don't give me anything they've given me previously because they've nearly finished me off. So I've got to say, tell them I'm allergic to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, refuse to go on any national database. That information is private and they have no right to upload it without your permission.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I live in sheltered housing and they cater for everyone that's sick. And here there are a lot of old people, as I'm one of them, I must say. But they're all drugged up to the eyebrows, and they're like walking zombies. It's dreadful. They're losing their memory, everything. They're just existing. And of course, the doctors, this is, they know that everybody here is going to keep calling the doctor. So hopefully that they won't say to me, if you don't go on the database, I had to register with a doctor because that's, you've got to do that here. If I, you know, hopefully if I say I don't want the database, they won't turn me out, so to speak. But things are getting so bad, even everyday living is becoming a bit hazardous, you know, things you never thought of years ago. It's really getting bad.
But Betty, a lot of these threats are in order to control. It's not about your personal health or safety. It's all about getting your information onto a database. They don't care whatever happens to you. So it's up to you to protect yourself by staying away
I
from...
But it's dreadful, isn't it?
Well, it's up to us not to give them permission to take away these freedoms which we have. We've got to strive to protect them and not listen to any of their lies.
No. No, because I think now it seems to be all speeding up. The control is really speeding up now.
Yes,
and
it is.
If America goes into their this package that Obama's getting for health care, they'll be on the same line. I mean, it's just that we brought this health care thing in a few years ago, and when it was brought in, we thought, oh, that's good, everybody will be able to get treatment. But look, it wasn't that at all. It's turned into a nightmare.
Yeah, but I think we're all responsible for our own health, which is what you said earlier, you know, about the lifestyle and food. And that way we stay away from Western medical health care.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because even the drugs are getting worse and worse that they're dishing out. And also the fact is that it's changing the DNA of people. We don't realise how serious this is. We've got to help the Almighty, you know. I mean, we don't put hazards in the way of what he has in store for his
creation.
Well,
that's right, but he's given us the food laws, hasn't he? And I mean, one of them is not to eat fungus, to eat mushrooms and things like that. And yet people go around filling themselves with antibiotics.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we've got to think very carefully about what we actually take into our own bodies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. But in the meantime, I got the impression, I may be wrong, but... are there still white doctors in England? Is that so? Or is it now coloured all?
Pardon?
No, there's a mixture. There's a mixture of all sorts. But there's a preponderance, I would say, of Asian doctors.
Yeah, there you were. Yeah, that's
And now, when I was living in London, you could tell how the Englishman had lost his credence, really, the way the Indian particularly began to treat you know, the common sort of man in the post offices and that. You know, they are like the new English. The Indians have sort of taken over that role.
And
put themselves in that superior position. And it's awful. I mean, it's awful to see it when you've seen things as they were years ago. I'm not saying that's perfect, but it's very, very obvious now.
But really,
we can't do anything about that now. It's all in the Almighty's hands.
That's true.
But we have been brought down. We are the tail. There's no doubt about that.
Certainly.
I was reading today. I'm just going over things, you know, that I've got drawers full of papers. I thought I'm going to sort them out and read them. And I was reading about the most powerful man in the world today, the Black Pope. And I wondered, Bill, that he was saying that it's the Count Hans Kolfenbach, the Jesuit general that no one's heard about, and how it's not the Jesuits are ruling the Jews. And that was quite amazing to me, how he was saying that they weren't responsible for a lot of things. It's the Jesuits that are behind it all. What do you think about that?
The Jesuits are an influential part of the Catholic Church, but I mean, they're not. What could they be responsible for that we haven't found? And I think it's just another ploy to throw to shroud the Jews, to protect the Jews and the Jewish bankers. Because all of the world's evil spread through the synagogues. I mean, Sword Brethren and I have proven that in on the Sunday night programs. It wasn't the Jesuits in the Ukraine killing millions of people. It wasn't the Jesuits that spread communism in Spain and destroyed the entire, nearly half the population of Spain in the 1930s. It wasn't the Jesuits that rallied the world to war against Adolf Hitler and Christian Germany. You know, these people are just frauds that spread these ridiculous theories.
Yes, I couldn't believe it when I was reading it. It sort of twisted it all around, you know.
It wasn't the Jesuits that instituted the Federal Reserve in the United States, and it wasn't the Jesuits that founded the Bank of England.
Well, that's what they're saying in this article.
Well, they're full of it, and they're probably working for some Jew.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jesuits are another part of the beast and the machine, but they're only they're part of the tail. They're not part of the dog.
No.
Or the tail's wagging the dog. They're part of the dog. They're not part of the tail, maybe.
That's correct.
Wasn't the founder of the Jesuits, Loyola, wasn't he a Jew?
I believe that all of the original founders, you know, original instruments of the Jesuits were Jews. I'm persuaded of that.
Yeah, certainly.
I can't prove it. I'm not in a position to prove it, but I'm sure they were Jews.
Well, this material has all come down line from BI sources. I'm not saying...
Well, you know something? BI was in bed with the Jews.
Yeah.
Edward Hines was a Jew, and they were in bed with the Jews, and they did everything they could to make the Jews Judah and destroy Christian Germany. And they basically... That they're the best public relations firm that the Jews have in England, because they've basically convinced that they've justified the English treatment of Ireland. They've justified the English treatment of Germany. BI has done all that. They may as well have their office right in the city in the biggest Rothschild bank there is.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know that scripture where it says even the elect can be deceived. It's amazing.
And John Bede, look, these British Israel writers love to quote Bede. Well, Bede spoke very well of the Germans and the Irish. And Bede knew and wrote that the Angles and the Saxons were Germans. And that's what the Britons called them. And Bede spoke very well of the Irish. and talked about how the Irish love the Bretons.
Mm.
And that's the Venerable Bede. I got that in one of my pamphlets. That's in German Origins, Part 6. I got those quotes. They all love the quote Bede. They should try reading all of Bede.
Yes. So do you know?
And it's all Jew propaganda that has turned the English people against the Germans and the Irish. And it's all Jew propaganda. It came right from the city. It came through Edward Hines. It came through all those early British Israel writers were compromised. They were all compromised.
Yeah.
Because John Wilson, he loved the Irish and the Germans, and so did Sharon Turner.
So there's an awful lot of sifting one has to do. And it's quite easy sort of to go off on another path, isn't it?
But that's why
you haven't got your grounding.
You got to cleanse your mind of all the bullshit. You got to start as a little child. That's what you mean. And relearn everything.
That's the way
you have to do it.
Yeah.
And all these people that talk bad about the Irish and the Germans, that they're all deceivers. That they're doing the work of the Jews by dividing Christendom. That's exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
And they just perpetuate.
That's exactly what you want. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for that, because it was so realistic in their writing. You know, I thought, well, maybe they are behind.
Satan sounds like an angel of light, believe me, but he's not.
But he isn't.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I'll debate with any of those B.I. people. They all flee from me.
Mm. Bill, could you unmute Sussex Man again?
Oh, yeah.
I also challenged Ted Whelan to a debate 2 weeks ago, and he never answered me.
Thank you very much.
I directly challenged Ted Whelan to a debate on Two Seed Line, and he has not even answered me.
No.
He has not 1 ounce of backbone in his whole perverted Jew-loving body.
Yeah, it's dreadful. It's really dreadful.
I had an email from Mari Roos today from South Africa, and Chris would be interested in this. She's coming to London in August and hopes to go to Orange Street and to see Chris and June at Orange Street in August.
Early or late August?
She doesn't give a precise date. I'll have to get back to her on that.
Who's that?
Mari Roos. Just an email to Beth.
Bill McMurdo's here this coming Sunday.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll send you an email. If he's done a special leaflet, I'll email it to you.
Well, I don't think I'm ever going to make it to England. I'm sorry. I'd love to, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'd probably end up in a clink in Hamburg or something.
Well, they won't let you into Orange Street,
for sure. Oh, if I could get through the airport, I'd make it to Orange Street. They wouldn't stop me.
Dave, you come to Orange Street. Chris and I will be welcoming you. We're not promising for some of the others.
There'd have to be a whole lot of people there with yellow coats and those funny hats they wear.
Yeah.
Well, I think for Bill, I have an idea how to escape that more or less. If you want to come to Europe, you better go to Paris, and then from Paris to England by the tube. You might have a chance.
Why, France lets everybody in, or what?
Mostly. You have a better chance.
Probably.
Yeah.
I can talk with a Mexican accent. I know some Spanish.
Yeah. You could even try it via Austria. That will be easier.
Oh, no, I'm not going to Austria. There ain't no way I'm going to Austria.
Yeah. Or the Italians.
Well, you could go to Bavarians and stop with Mafia.
Yeah, that's no problem. Then you have to go to Munich Airport.
Yeah, I think I'll just avoid Europe.
Yeah, there's too many thought police.
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all have to come here.
Yeah, that's certainly. But I'm rather pleased that I'm here. I was placed here, and I'm still pleased with it. I have a tremendous hospitality here. I can't complain. Oh, and I must say something very well. It is very important. Indeed, there are some people not from Germany in the hotel, I would say, in the hospital. But indeed, I'm just helped all through with a standard normal white people in the hospital here. So in that case, we still have no problem here. And the most important thing is that I never get in my life, and that is breakfast. Breakfast on bed. This is new. I loved it.
I never eat breakfast either. I eat one meal a day. I eat lunch and dinner and everything in between. I skip breakfast. I don't eat in the morning.
Yeah.
Very rare.
I like to have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Nah, I was spoiled in the hotel there.
I was going to say to you, Bill, I had somebody sent me from America a recent book that's come out. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History by E. Michael Jones.
Michael Jones.
And it's about 1,000 pages.
And I'm sure it sounds like a love fest.
Pardon?
I'm sure it sounds like a love fest.
No, I don't know.
It sounds like It sounds to me like it's going to admire the Jewish impact on world history.
No, I don't think it does. I think it shows their. I mean, the chapter one is called The Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Chapter two.
It's hard to tell what it's about from the title, then, the way I heard it. I may have heard it wrong, but...
Yeah.
It says the Jewish revolutionary spirit. In other words, they're responsible for all the revolutions.
Okay.
And, what has it got? Rome, chapter 3, Rome discovers the Talmud. Chapter 4, false conversion and the Inquisition. Chapter 5, the revolution arrives in Europe. Chapter 6, the Converso problem. Chapter 7, Roy Clint versus Pfefferkorn. I don't know what that's about. Then chapter 8, Thomas Munzer and the Peasant Revolt. Chapter 9, the Anabaptist Rebellion. Chapter 10, John Dee and Magic. Chapter 11, Manasseh and the Apostate Messiah. Chapter 12, the Rise of Freemasonry. And so it goes on. Yeah. So it sounds as though it could be interesting. Mind you, it'd be a bit long for me to scan and to digitize. It took me a long time.
I would say so.
Well, we'll put it up. I mean, we'll put them all up sooner or later, sometime within the next 2 years, I hope. I just added that forum that, I've been working while I'm sitting here. I can't sit and not do two or three things at once. I just added that forum. And a little capture thing program to the new Ensign site. And we'll see how it goes, but we'll have to keep an eye that nobody smears it with I want to leave it open to the public, but we'll have to make sure nobody smears it with spam and stuff like that. And anybody that does, those topics can be deleted. So there's now a forum on a new Ensign site. I mean, it's, you know, you could have a lot of topics. It's not a full-blown forum like the Christogenia forum, but you could add a lot of topics to it.
Thank you.
It'll follow
great.
Them in threads and things like that, so. I'm also going to put an editorial up. Section on the menu.
Oh, well, we got somebody good at writing editorials. I won't mention any names.
It'll really be the, I'm going to use the blog function, I think, to do it, but.
That magazine is just what is needed, really, in this country.
What magazine's that?
As a new enzyme.
Oh, right.
One can call it a magazine. Because I send it off to two people that used to be in Worldwide, and they really love it.
I thought it might be a bit too strong for them, you know.
Well, I think the last one, someone made a comment about a very strong message, you know. So we just have to see how it goes, really.
In other words, they're still on the milk, they're not on the meat yet.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Well, the point is, they're advocating milk all over because the milk defeats the purpose coming onto the strong meat. And lots of the people in charge don't want you to be on strong meat. It won't be tired you if they find that you are.
Well, I was just going to, I think I mentioned to you, Betty, I think you, it was sometime after you logged off on the last call, Euro call we had, there was somebody on who was asking quite a lot of questions, and evidently he was involved with Herbert Armstrong, and so I thought you would have been interested in that because you have a more better idea of the perspective he was coming from.
Yes, oh, well, I'll have to listen to the broadcast.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with it all, you know. Amazing. It's amazing. The input is so huge. Yeah.
Well, as I say, I download them and each week and put them on the CD and send them up to Newcastle. Well, those people aren't on computers.
Have you finished that one? And I say, look, if there are 30 articles on, there's not enough hours in the day.
30 hours, you mean?
When you have 30 different items on, and they come to an hour each. But anyhow, I do my best between that and between reading and slotting a little bit of housewifely duties in. Sometimes the accent's on a little bit of housewife. However, great life, and you haven't time to weaken. Got to keep on with the good work.
And last week we were discussing, these contracts, the Treaty of Verona and things. Well, I tried to do some research, but I've been so busy, I was hoping to sort of make a summary and bring it to discuss on the forum this evening, but I'll have to try and do it next week. But interestingly, I looked into King Clovis, and of course he's the one who was on my GOG slides, and he had that's the one who had three frogs, and that's how the French always thereafter became known as frogs, which they didn't like, so they changed it to three fleur-de-lis. At the time when King Clovis had, conquered most of what today would be France, Spain, the Low Countries.
So there's really some historical truth to calling the French frogs?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Now you know something fine.
And I think that was sort of, and I put on my GOG slides that it was a portent of things to come, you know, like from Frankfurt, because Frankfurt is named after the Franks. That's where the Rothschilds, our Rothschilds, started off in the ghettos of Frankfurt. But interestingly, it was King Clovis, his wife, you know, persuaded him, kept on to him to become a Christian, so he got baptized, and then she persuaded him to make a treaty with the Pope, because at that time, I'm not sure the exact date, but I think it was something like 490 or 480 AD. Although the Bishop of Rome called himself Pope, he wasn't at that time having any authority over the other bishops to any extent, and therefore he asked King Clovis to make him chief, make him Pope and head of over the religious side. But at that time, he was still under the authority. He wasn't superior to the Clovis, but the treaty was with his dynasty, and the Pope didn't like being superior to somebody else. So by intrigue, he had most of the Moravian dynasty wiped out. And I think only one heir survived, and he went to Scotland. I'm not quite sure what his name was, but evidently after that, that was when Pope claimed supremacy over the kings and decided who would become king. And because of that, when King John signed the Treaty of 1213, I believe it was, hanging over
1213.
Hanging over the paper, handing over title of his lands to the Pope. By the way, that was because previously he had been excommunicated because he failed to pay the Pope I think in those days it was the currency was marks in England as well as in Germany. 10,000 marks. He was excommunicated, so he decided he didn't like that. I mean, he thought it more or less been chucked out of heaven because the Pope had excommunicated him. So he went on bended knees and he said the only way he could rectify that was to give the papacy a title to his kingdom, and what he did. But he did it for the whole of his in respect of his heirs and successors. But legal people say. The Pope, it wasn't a valid treaty because the Pope had broken his oath to the Moravian dynasty by wiping them out. So he was the only party to the contract. And likewise, that's why the Pope didn't have any objection. Well, he did have a sort of public objection. But because of the Treaty of Magna Carta, which gave the barons, which actually is freemen of the land, people who could bear arms, and in order to demonstrate you were a freeman, you had to, at the council where they had their meetings, you had to raise your hand and show you had a sword, and that means you were a freeman and not a slave. Or a servant. So anyway, the barons didn't like what King Arthur, King John had done, so they had the old English common law reinstated, and of course the Pope, publicly the Pope didn't like it, but his Archbishop, Stephen Langton, presided over the affair and didn't make any objection because they knew legally it was invalid because the, you know, he couldn't do it because he was bound by the oath to the Pope. But on the other hand, the Pope wasn't in a position to make the contract because he was an oath breaker as well. So, and this has all gone on into modern history. But the ins and outs of it are very complicated.
That's right.
And again, I think the three, you know, when the Bible talks about, you know, the three evil spirits and three frogs, so I think it's very pertinent that Clovis had three frogs on his flag because he was king of the Franks, and it was where Frankfurt, you know, where that's where Frankfurt gets its name from.
Well, that's not where the Jews started, though. I mean...
Oh, no, this is where Jacob's trouble started.
In fact, the First Crusade, a lot of Jews in Frankfurt were wiped out, right?
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is this is where the present troubles, the rise of the Rothschilds, started in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And this was
no
attending
doubt.
The, you know, the great troubles to, I mean, that's not to say Israel hasn't had troubles before, but this were when the, you know, the three fog troubles started, you know, the three evil spirits.
Yeah, yeah.
And also...
it was really a historic... I still can't get over that. I never knew it was really a historical connection between the French and the frogs. you know, we pick on them for eating frogs' legs and stuff like that. They're famous for that, but that's really silly.
It's cool.
But three frogs on a flag, that's that is pretty profound.
Yeah. I've got the picture of the... If you look up the history of Clovis, you should see the banner there, you know. And also...
I feel upset about that because I can't... I mean, the Rhineland is Frankish.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, my ancestral village is like 20 miles from Frankfurt.
Right.
And before it came from, then it divided down the Rhine, more or less. You had the, what they called the West Franks, which were the French, and the East Franks, which were the Germans. And then they had, the East Franks had an enclave called the Duchy of Alsace-Lorraine, which they've been fighting over between the French and been going backwards and forwards a lot of time, you know.
Right, well, it should be German.
Yeah.
I mean,
it should
be
German.
Don't went to school there. Strasbourg, that's German. That's not, it shouldn't be French. That's a pity.
And the other interesting thing about the Frank name, that there was a bloodline Frank who were Satanists, and interestingly, Billy Graham's real name was Frank.
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a connection there.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have an R in my name.
you haven't come across, I was interested. Because the way, you know, I was just thinking Clotilde, Clovis' wife, seemed to be the driving force who caused him to convert to Catholicism and make a pact with the papacy. I mean, it's just like Nero's Jewish wife made him, you know, burn Rome and blame it on the Christians, so... I was wondering if there was, you know, any way of finding out whether Clotilde Clovis' wife was a Jew. It sounds very much like it. So I didn't know whether you'd come across anything to that.
No, I'm not a student of the Middle Ages. I'm just not. You know, I have a lot of gaps in my knowledge of the Middle Ages. I admit that. I always have. I mean, a guy can't read everything. I mean,
oh, no.
I try like hell, but I just couldn't do it. I read a couple of general books on the Middle Ages, but I haven't read anything in any real depth. I'm trying to get started with Jordana's on my site. I started to read it, and I get distracted with too many other things to do.
Oh, by the way, did anybody give Olin Fodler's apologies?
No, if I have an email from him, I haven't noticed it.
Oh, well, I didn't know whether Tia Teffy had, because he emailed us to say he gave his apologies for not being on the forum because he had an appointment with the BNP and he was going to, he'd been asked to talk about Christian identity. So hopefully he might get some recruits there.
Oh.
Yeah, there aren't many political parties which ask some Christian to come and talk to them. But I know that Christians have been invited, and certainly Alan is I'm sure he'll do a great job.
And he's Sue Henderson and somebody else he's got listening in to Eli and Bill Fink shows, I think, over the weekend.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, by the way, Chris, I just have your notes. Before I went in the hospital, I jumped into your question whether there are some informations about the Treaty of Verona from 1213 to be found in the German language. And that's why I found on the internet. So I found 1, 2, 3, or 4 items on the internet in the German language. So there is something to be found indeed in the German language about the Treaty of Verona. But I'm busy with it for you.
1213 rather than the, because there is another one, 1822.
That's right. That's not the one.
Was
that's
it 1213 one?
1213. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah, there was King John and the Pope.
And that was the Verona, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, if you could send me the links and I could have a look at it.
Yeah, that can be done. Yeah, that's it from the list of the popes. Yeah. Yeah. I can do it. I have it here on paper. And I'll check them first before I'll go and do it again. But I'll send you them over. Maybe I'll find some more. And maybe I'll try to find some about the King Clovis. You never know where that is given. Because there's a lot of German on the internet that way. So I'll seek to find something more about it for you. But then I went in the hospital, and in the hospital I couldn't do anything.
They don't give you an internet.
The only thing I did in the hospital was, the hotel is not so far yet. there wasn't. You couldn't get even a telephone connected. Yeah, that is right. But that's very expensive, so I didn't do that. That wasn't necessary. Yeah, but I got a lot of rest, and that was very important. I was very pleased with that. That's right. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got an email in the evening from one of my old colleagues, and he said you better go and look at the attachment which I have. You can't believe your own eyes. The company of Siemens Infineon, where we worked for 3 years ago, then it was all taken down, and the offices are still free and empty, and more of it, and the buildings are still there, and they are still not in use in some certain way. And now we found that the whole plot, the whole area of so many thousand acres, whatever, was sold in Hamburg to organization in Hamburg. The name was in it, the Warburg Trading Company. I said, this is typical, beautiful thing. pigs and pigs are joining together. It can't be better. Really, pigs and pigs. It's incredible. Yeah, it's War Book, and most people don't know it. But I sent the answer to my colleague back. I said, these swines and swines are flocking together. You can't believe it. But it's today's times. But it, so is this world.
And in the media here, you quite often see, you know, even though it might be the water utilities or, you know, a rubbish collection, say, oh, it's been taken over by a French-German firm. Really, when you look into it, it's not a indigenous
right.
German, it's just a Jewish firm going
yeah.
under the name of Germans, you know.
Yeah. That's correct.
Oh, if Bill's there, there's Dorcas and Tia Teffy wanting to be unmuted.
Yeah.
Whoops, yes,
yeah.
I'm a bad boy. I'm
Dorcas is, here they are, back again.
Yeah.
And one of the latest things I saw on the television, and in the afternoon I got a note in my mailbox here in the house, an incredible thing that they are opening now advertising that you are going to sell for money or even a document or kind of document, whatever holding it is, all your old gold and silver. You better bring it to the addresses, and then you can get money for it. I think, my dear goodness, what a liar, what a filthy trick, because all that
they want to give you their,
in the jewel hands, and they take
exchange
it.
For it.
Yeah! And they do dare it openly on the television, and they are putting it in your mailboxes. And my hairs are going to heaven for angriness. I mean, it's not allowed to do that for me because it's raising my blood pressure, but I don't do such. But that is in today's time so openly that they are taking off your last silver and gold because that price is going to raise like hell in the next few half year or year or whatsoever, what's left over of time. And they just steal even that, just the simple-minded people have no knowledge what's really going on. But they do dare to do such. This is so low, such filthiness for a stupid piece of paper where it has no value at all. And you're losing your last supplies. That's today's times. I learned my lessons.
In this country now, there are big adverts to buy your silver and gold. I don't know whether they have that in Europe. But even on market day, there's a stall saying he'll give you cash for any gold or silver. Now, that's a new thing that's happened within the last 6 months. So they're
yeah.
all trying to get gold and silver.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I suppose a lot of people are selling their bits and pieces.
Yeah.
So they don't realise, you know, but then... There's that scripture which says that they will be throwing out their gold because
yeah.
It'll be useless to them.
Yeah, in the end, even gold is useless.
It's all being gathered together by the ones who are going to be throwing it out. It's not people like us who are throwing it out. It's the ones who have the ownership of it. They've robbed people for years to get it. And then they're going to be throwing their hands up in despair. It's no good any longer. Crazy are we for that?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, the adverts are really telling. We don't mind if it's broken, you know, if you lost the catch of your necklace or your earrings or whatever, anything we will give you good money for it.
Yeah.
So it's the bad chasing the good.
Yeah. Now they will not get my gold. I collect it from the company floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is so strange at the moment. But the most important thing is I'm eating up myself from angriness about your things. And this is what I have not to do. It is very difficult to leave it off. And that's one of the things why my blood pressure is raising up like crazy. Then I discussed it with the doctor in the hospital, and she indeed said, yeah, you have to be careful for it. I can understand it because I have it as a heritage from my mother. She had the same problem, but you got 92, was it? So I still have a few years to go.
Yes. And your blood pressure changes during the day, you know. It could be up and down. I mean, it's not stable. They take that reading, but it's not stable.
And also, if you come to the doctors, you know, sort of anxious, that puts it up, doesn't it?
Yeah. And getting in on the computer makes my blood pressure go up.
After having the cataracts taken off, I had to get new specs, and the optician said, now what's your blood pressure like? Oh, I said, I haven't the faintest idea. She says, what? You mean you don't have your blood pressure tested? I said, I never have.
Yeah.
And she said, well, that's very dangerous. Well, I said, I haven't noticed it, dear.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just talk as if it was, what, you say you've never eaten anything for 6 weeks and you're still alive? But I just take it with a pinch of salt. I think, no, I won't be running to the doctors for anything. The last time I saw them, they said, now that you're 70, you can have your flu jab straight away, no charge. Oh, I said, I don't take anything into my body except good wholesome food. So I must be in the loony bin. So this year they haven't even sent him asking me to go. They must have taken my word for it. I'm not having anything like that. I'm feeling excellent.
And I understand now, June, that all those wasted flu jabs that they couldn't get rid of, they're now sending, thanks to Bill Gates' generosity, to Africa and other third world countries.
Oh, yes, well.
Obviously, as a population reduction measure.
Most probably.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Gates at a recent talk, I've forgotten where it was, but I've got some details on it. He actually admitted that that's what it was, a population reduction measure through vaccination. So,
even openly.
The world population down.
He should have to take them. He should have to take all the vaccines he pays for.
He should.
It's time to get it stopped.
Well, that's Satan's house divided against itself. You know, let the Jews kill the Negroes. It don't matter to me.
Yeah.
our people want to take the vaccinations. Well, they should. I don't know. I'd like to say they deserve what they get, but the shame is that they all do it out of ignorance. They all do it. I mean, I was vaccinated. My mother didn't know any better.
No.
Yeah, but that's for the normal vaccinations in your youth, and that's a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take a shot now. I mean, I haven't had a shot in probably 30, 40 years.
Yeah, that's better. Keep it in that way.
I mean, as somebody says, all vaccines are dangerous, and they're all designed to make you unwell.
Well, none have been tested for cancer because they know that they do contain cancer viruses.
Yeah. Right, they all contain mangled monkey guts.
That's
They've culled these diseases on.
Correct.
It's disgusting.
It's beyond imagination at all, but it is so.
Yeah. The Jewish pipe dream, pumping people full of that garbage.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And now they can put certain things in that affect your DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's calling.
There's only one thing they can't do. They can't put something into their DNA to affect it. Because it's recorded in heaven. The Lord knows they that are his.
Okay. Where is he now? All right.
You didn't have any success with the Dutch ladies to get them interested in dialing in, Matthew?
So far, yeah, I tried to persuade Anneke. She would try, and she would, some more, but so far, no.
Is it a question of the language barrier?
Oh, no. Anneke speaks excellent English.
Fluently.
Oh, right.
She comes from South Africa.
She even corrected David Amos' English spelling on
there.
Yeah.
That's all I know. Somebody not correcting English.
And Chet is now on holiday.
She couldn't believe we were paying out benefits amounting to thousands of pounds to a terrorist who lives in this country. I really ought to get in touch with her. She couldn't believe that we were so stupid as to do these things. Well, she's finding out that we are stupid.
Well, we're
paying out more to those sort of people who are living here than we're paying to our own soldiers, to our own military who are actually on the front line. And I noticed today some information. One immigrant, a Turkish sex swap person, the National Health in this country has paid out £60,000 for her to change.
Wow.
Sorry, how for her to change to a him, to a he.
Wow. How
ridiculous. £60,000. And we know that some of our people are dying because they're on waiting lists, and those operations are quite costly, and you know they don't get them in time because they're having to wait so long. And yet you've got somebody like this who it just does not make sense, does it? It's opposite day.
No,
it does not make any sense at all.
No.
And then we have one of the leaders of the party in government, not the one in government now, but one of the other leaders hoping to be in government, says when he becomes prime minister, he will bring in the ruling that all the Africans who are condemned in their own country because they're AIDS carriers and they have AIDS, they will be welcomed into Britain and treated. There's an election coming up. It'll be a terrible job trying to decide who to vote for, because we know so many we wouldn't vote for if we were the last man left.
Well, I don't think there will be anyone worth voting for in the vote.
We know that there isn't, but this is just the sort of thing. I mean, they're fighting over nothing, and we know quite well the three main parties will agree to anything and will do anything, because they are only the spokesperson. It's the man who's pulling the strings that we want to get at. And, of course, he'd be hiding behind the curtain. of his life in Britain at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's the same, I think, most Western countries.
Yeah.
Some to a greater extent than others.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I suppose we're worse off in Britain because we're closest to the control centre in the City of London.
You said it. You said it.
Well, most of the silly people here think all the problems are coming from Europe, you know.
And actually,
Brian Garrish has done quite a lot of research and other people and find that all the directives don't come from Brussels. They actually come from Portcullis House
Central.
Next to the Houses of Parliament and sent to Brussels.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to Westminster, you know. And so people say, oh, blame Brussels, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And also the Euro zone is also managed from London as well.
Oh.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
So they blame Brussels for the Euro. They should be blaming London.
Yeah. They are the centre of London, the Jews. Yeah, it's awful. It's really, it's high time to stop the hole. Well, we can only pray for it. We don't know the time.
The United
Nations knows the time.
The United Nations is an arm of Rothschilds and all of Washington, I mean.
Yeah. It's one game.
Well, the site on which the United Nations is built was paid for by the Rockefellers, who were bankrolled by the Rothschilds originally.
Should tell you everything you need to know right there.
That's reported and spoken on as the wall of untempered mortar. The Lord declared he destroyed. And that's the UN building, I think. I mean, it's not just the building that he destroyed, it's all the...
Right, and the Wall Street Financial Center.
It seems as though they're getting into place, you know, the UN from Washington, the money from London and Rome would be the religion, and maybe they're going to make them the big centres with the globalisation.
Here we are.
One world religion. We are not part of any of it. So that's something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
We can only look on, really, and try and keep ourselves away from it.
And then
that's all we're supposed to do is look on. Transact your business until I come. That's what he said.
Yes,
what it means.
Yeah.
Go about your business until I come. That's what it says.
Who would have believed that we're actually witnessing prophecy and knowing that we're witnessing it?
That's right. That's right.
We're living in the most exciting times, I believe. As we are seeing the reality of what we've read about it for years and years, we've heard it spoken of. And we are here, watching it happen.
And most of the Judaic Christians are still waiting for it to happen. They're still looking for an antichrist when the system is at its full fling now. And also waiting for the Russians to gallop over the Caucasus and surround Jerusalem.
Yeah, madness. Yeah. Strange times.
Bill, do you, or anyone really, I've often wondered why they call Germany the fatherland and Russia, the motherland? How they, why
yeah,
they
Yeah, I
make
think that's
that?
The difference between the Slavic and the Saxon attitude. I'm not positive, but yeah, you know, on the other hand, England has always pictured Britannia as a woman too, so it's hard
to
know. Well, that Britannia was supposed to be in Tia Tefi, the
really?
Woman sitting on the wheel, yeah.
Oh.
Over the
sea. Oh. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay, yeah, this could be Britannia, yeah.
I thought maybe the motherland in Russia had something to do with Mary, you know, the religion around Mary, but I don't know what the fatherland would have depicted.
Well, I think it's just a cultural thing, yeah, you know, how the culture views the land and the nation.
I see.
But
yeah.
I don't think it's harmful either way, or there's
no.
anything detrimental about either aspect.
No. Oh. No.
Yeah. I still have an old question standing on the paper I saw, and that's typical for Bill. Was it not the week before? Oh, yeah, of course. And I was there, so it was the week before. We had Jonathan Gregg on the telephone from New Zealand. Huh?
Jonathan Gregg.
It was
an interesting.
I'm going to be honest, I'm a lot more pragmatic than he is, and I don't buy half the stuff he says, and that's why I stayed away from that call.
Yeah. That's what I was expecting, because when I was listening to the whole story, and okay, as it is, and afterwards I went to the website of him and to see what it is all looking about. And what you can see is only written stories, no... hardly any useful reference or photographs or proofs who are pretty likely, etc. The only thing you can see is that you have to buy and to buy a book and another book and another book. Don't know what kind of price it is. But that gives me automatic. Yeah, that's what I had an idea as well. So I thought next time I'll ask you. So we have the same idea. Yeah, I was expecting such.
I believe Jonathan Gray is the clown, and I believe that Ron Wyatt was a clown, and I don't know why Eli buys into them. And Eli and I have spoken about it, and I don't know why he does it. I'm just being factual.
Yeah. I was expecting such, so I have to see it. Yeah. No, you're right.
I'll say one thing for Eli. You know, Robert Balakaius, I think he's a pretty intelligent guy, and I think he's pretty objective. And he believes Ron Wyatt. And that's all I'll say, but I still don't. I don't believe Ron Wyatt. I think Ron Wyatt's made some mistakes and said some things that I don't think any archaeologist should say or would believe.
Yeah.
I think they're clowns. That's it. That's my bottom line.
Storytellers.
Yep.
All I could get out of the Ron Wyatt story, it didn't tie in with scripture.
No, it don't. And you know, if you're going to put up a website, if you're going to make assertions, you're not going to make me pay to see the proof.
Yeah.
You know, you're just full of it. You're just full of it. That's all you are.
Yeah.
Everything I'm about is free.
Yeah, that's right. That's a lot more trustworthy. Such as by. I know the same thing for whatever book about UFOs or so, and all these other things. You all are pinpointed to buying. Oh, that's very simple. I'm not going to buy. That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm about to put
it's all so secret and that sort of things.
I hope in the next 3 weeks to have my New Testament for sale on my website in hard copy.
Wonderful.
But I mean, you can still go download it all for free. I mean, you know, I'm not hiding anything, you know, behind a paywall. That's crazy.
But you'll have it in one booklet form?
The New Testament, it'll be about 400-page book. I'm working on two appendixes now, and I'm going to put it on lulu.com, print to demand, print to order, and that's the route I have to take.
Oh, So,
and that'll be done in about 3 weeks. And after that, I'm going to work on my historical essays, on arranging them into a book, and my religious essays.
So you won't be sending them out by post?
No, you'll be ordering them from Lulu. I'm not, you know, I'll have a link to buy them on my site, but it'd be ridiculous to pay to have them shipped here and then for me to ship them. That's terrible.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That would add $10 to the cost of every book, the double shipping. I mean,
I know, you know, you've got it all on your website, but there's so much to print, you know, and so much paper. And I wondered, you know, it could be more condensed in a book somehow.
Yeah, well, I'm doing that right now. I'm working on. I mean, the New Testament's together. It's done. It has been for a long time. I just resized it all. I just went through everything to make sure it was presentable. I hope there aren't any mistakes in it. I mean, we're all human, right? But I'm making two appendixes before I put it up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add two appendixes to it, and I'm in the middle of that now.
That's wonderful. Yes. And also there was, on Eli's site, there was that man that's done Genesis from the Hebrew. But it's so much to copy.
Right now there are actually people that have volunteered, and they're typing that stuff right now. I put that up on Eli's site. So when I put it up, I just thought I'd put in a little appeal for anybody that might want to transcribe it. And somebody volunteered the next day, I swear.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm going to put, I'm hoping maybe over this weekend to have Anderson's Leviticus and Exodus up there, too.
Really?
Yeah, because I have them. Eli sent them to me, and they're sitting here on my hard drive. I've just been, I can only work on so many things. Please.
I was going to say how busy you are. But it's wonderful that these things are now being made available, if you know what I mean. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't read Anderson's work. I mean, we're in agreement on most things. I know
I've just... No, I've read his a few articles from him. I'm just interested to read.
He actually helped proofread my Luke translation. He helped proofread. Anderson helped proofread my Luke translation.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He's proofread for Clifton for quite some time now.
Yes.
Sussex Man likes to be unmuted.
Oops. Yeah. Well, I'm getting over there.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I was a lot younger. I'd offer to help, but knowing my way with the computer, I really don't think I'd be much help at the end of the day. Not in that way.
No, I'm not even a star in computer work, but I have my friend who is capable of helping with all that, and the rest I had to learn myself as far as possible. But if you have, if your best friend in a foreign country is a specialist on software technology, yeah, you can't have better.
No.
And he knows that I'm on the internet, so he's coming in with me, and he's taking over the control of the machine, and he's repairing and changing it. I can't have better. Otherwise, it never would have dared to start it even. But I can tell one thing, Bill, it's very interesting. I have 6 broken oscilloscopes, and they're all running now again. I got them alive. Yeah. Thanks to the components which I could get from Canada, from the Indian area there in the Vancouver area. And that's the one and only station in the world so far we know, are still having spare parts from Tektronix. And I got them all in and did mount them in and started up the oscilloscopes and changed and repaired them and regulated them. And I have a beautiful set of instruments going on now. I was lucky. It took a lot of time, but I learned a lot. I got a lot wiser about these machines. So step by step, I get my wisdom at the right time at the right place. But time after time, I really tell you, I have to thank the Lord that I got the wisdom, for I need it. That's my job to do so. He developed me for that, and well, I'm quite fine with it. I like to call it recreation. These broken equipment and these instruments can be used so fine, it's so superb, that it's recreating the old equipment. I have to do something. Yeah, Sussex Manley is there. Okay.
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. But I have no Americans tonight. I didn't check it on the list. But the last time we had, I see only Cody. Still on the guest number 11. And who are the others?
Yes,
some more. No, all the others are empty. It's all empty stuff. Now, guest 11 is the last. Goldie is there in. Guest number 9. Uppercut is still in. And Martin is also gone. Okay. Okay. Keep in touch. Well, I'm interested to see what it is on Sunday. Coming Sunday was... It was Eli. How is it going on then? And how my
You'll be in your element there, Matthew. It'll be
you said
astronomy
it.
And the sun.
Yeah, that's right. You said it. Yeah, you did say so. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, I have to be there, whatever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I'm not there, then you know where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. And I'll recheck some of the books by Sunday that I have the information up to date. Yeah, I'll see to do that, yeah. I'll write it on the paper here. Yeah, I'll make a note before I'm going to forget it, yeah. This is indeed an interesting thing. Yeah. Oh, some more paperwork on the table here. Sunday, see? Sunday. Oh, yeah. Biblical holidays. Biblical holidays. If they are in the calendar. Calendar holidays. Why always is ballpoint going to stop at the moment that I have to write with you? So, calendar, yeah. Checklist. Okay. Check the books. Check the books. Right. Okay. Maybe he's not given time. We'll wait and see. It will be very interesting. Yeah. That's a very good thing. Maybe, I have to ask Anna if that, we don't know when the African man is coming in. Then she's probably going to listen to him. But, I can retry. Ask Annika to come in. Yeah, that man. Yeah, there was some certain whatever person in Africa who was going to tell something in the show from Eli. That's what he told 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and then we got this fun maker, that Jonathan came in. But I didn't know better that the African was coming in. From South Africa somewhere, and he was going to tell something about the situation there. That's where I was interested in for Annika. And I called her and I told her, so come in tonight, for it's getting interesting concerning South Africa. And then I got an email back, but I didn't see anything about that man. I said, oh no, I realized I was cheated or I was misinformed whatsoever. That we got the man from South, New Zealand instead of Africa. That's, yeah, well, okay. something was wrong then.
But I was in the hospital. Well, I mean, the Dutch ladies, they believe in Ron Wyatt, don't they?
Yeah, but I'll keep them in that dream.
It's so easy for people to get caught up in stories.
Yeah.
It is
it's
so
easier.
Easy for people that they hear a story that sounds good and it sounds nice and it sounds like it's coming from somebody sincere and they follow right after it. It's crazy.
Yeah, they stink in it. You have to be objectional. You have to be so careful because deception will be at the order of the day. In the continuous row, you have to check before you're going to believe it. For all these things are filled up with Jewish stories and nonsense. And we are only cheated. What for? You better... The Lord is not blaming us when we are something disbelieving because anything is so cheated through. It's more dangerous to take up all these nonsense stories and believe them. That is far more dangerous than not to believe them and check them first.
Don't you think that coming into the truth and having the revelation, you know, that Paul gives does take a certain amount of open-mindedness. Otherwise, we'd all shut down everything we heard. And
Well, right, but, you know, all of my life, I've wanted to look. I didn't just believe things because they came out of somebody's mouth.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Bible, even from the biblical point of view.
If you told me something that you saw, that's really a different story. I mean, you're my sister. I have to take your word for it. But if you're telling me something that happened 2,000 years ago, I want to see what you saw.
if you have
the proof, I want to see it.
You take the Bible on trust. I'm not saying every word, but what they're telling you. I mean, we take that on trust. I mean, if we didn't have that inquiring mind, I don't know, we wouldn't take any of it. So... I'm only just talking off the top of my head.
I was an apostate Catholic. I was apostate when I was a little kid. I stopped going to church. My mother would give me a dollar to go put in the basket. I'd go buy a pack of cigarettes and go smoke them all with my brother up on the railroad tracks. That's how I grew up. I stopped going to church in sixth, seventh grade. I couldn't stand it. I knew they were full of it. I didn't know why, and I always believed in a God, there's no doubt, and I never believed evolution, and I even read Stephen Hawking, A Brief History of Time. I read Carl Sagan, Cosmos. I read those books, I couldn't wipe my butt with them. They're garbage, I'm sorry about the analogy, but they're trash, I couldn't believe that. And I had started studying conspiratorial history back in 95 after I was getting ready to go to prison. And the internet, that stuff was on the internet then, and I started looking at it, and it was interesting. And I had been a reader of history when I was a boy growing up, but I had, in my 20s, I didn't read about anything but guns and computers. They were my... The things that I did. I got to prison and I read a conspiratorial history book or two, and it re-interested me in history. After a year, somebody gave me some identity books, and I said, wow. I knew that I had to prove that for myself. I wasn't just going to accept E. Raymond Casper, Wesley Swift on his word. I didn't, and I read the whole Bible, and that pretty much set me on the route that I've taken, and my writing and my translation is the result of it. I was critical all along. I'm not going to believe something, some nice story, just because somebody thinks it sounds good. That's been the cause of our destruction for 5,000 years.
Yeah.
But there are some things that you cannot prove, really. You have to take some things on faith.
Well, right.
That's
but,
right.
You know, the things
That's
that
right.
you can prove lead you to believe the things that you can't.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, when Daniel can sit in 550 B.C. and tell me that from the time that this city is built to the time that this Messiah is born, it's going to be 490 years. And like, people 500 years later would even care what some guy wrote 500 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, you know what? Give most people today a book that was written 500 years ago, and they'll probably use it for a baby seat or to stick under some furniture to level it out. Or
yeah.
They don't care. Yeah, you know, but these things that you wrote, they all came true. And
yes,
you know, when these prophecies come true, well, you better pay attention to the rest of this book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you could, you know, I always say that prophecy is not so that we can read it and tell what's going to happen in the future. Prophecy is so that we can read it and understand it and know that God is true. That's what prophecy is for.
Yeah.
It's a witness for him.
Yeah.
It ain't a witness for us. You know,
yeah.
we...
No.
And when we look at all those prophecies, and I can talk about tons of prophecies that came true that had to be written when it says, when they say they were written, and that's the reason for all my own inquiry is to prove out those prophecies and to prove out that we're those people and we fulfilled those prophecies and this is how it happened in history and this is why it happened and these are the steps. This is how we got from there to here. That's what I want to know, and that's been the center of all of my inquiry.
And look at the fruit it's borne, really. You're
Well, to look at things critically. We have to look at things critically.
Yeah.
I look at myself critically. I look at Clifton. I mean, we've had a 12-year relationship. I don't just accept everything that he says. I examine everything he says. And when I disagree with him, he hears about it. Yeah, you know, and we go back over it, and sometimes he's right, and sometimes I'm right. Yeah, you know, that's the way it should be. That's called searching the scriptures. And that's, we should look at everything critically. And when a Ron Wyatt comes along and makes these startling, wild claims, just because it sounds good and the guy seems to be an honest man, I'm not going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, yeah, why don't you show me that? Well, I ain't got no pictures on my website. I ain't got no evidence.
Yeah.
Well, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I think when people start making things up, that's when they earn that clown label. You know, I don't care if it's biblical interpretation or if it's archaeology. You can't. If I thought that I was teaching anything I made up, that's not Christianity. That's Billyanity.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I'm not into Billyanity or Harryanity or Cliftonianity or Elianity.
No.
I'm into Christianity.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, all the ministers that feel they feel it's right. I mean, but you can't go on feelings about anything, really.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many lies people made up in identity? And like this, it comes from Bill Gale, from what I hear, that John 8:33 should really say, "I know you say you were Abraham's seed." Well, there ain't one ancient manuscript that has that. So how could you say that?
Mm.
If you can't show me a manuscript, how could you spread that? And Dan Gaiman and a lot of people in identity still teach that. But that ain't what he said. Show me the manuscript. They can't come up with a manuscript. And that's just one example. And Paul says, you know, Paul tells us in Romans, he says, if my lie helps advance the truth of God, then why am I still a liar? In other words, you shouldn't even lie thinking you're helping God. And that's what Paul's telling us. Don't
that's
lie thinking you're helping God. He don't need your help. He don't need your lie.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. Yeah. That's what it is.
I mean, people write books and they put appendices to them. Not and where they've got the information from, but it sort of goes down the centuries. The false information carries on. And you've gone back to the original documents as far as you can. Well, that is wonderful in this age that we're living in.
And
it sort of puts us on a straighter path, you know.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of my writing, is to me, a scholar is only a clerk.
Mm.
Yeah. That's all I am. I'm a clerk. I'm not a scholar. I'm a clerk. Mm. I can read books and collate them and take things from diverse books and see how they affect each other and put them together. That's what a scholar is. To me, I mean, if you read the Bible and you go read Herodotus and you have half a brain, you could figure out, you know, which parts of these stories belong together. And you can figure it out, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And if you look at all my books, they're basically littered with thousands of notes in the margins and notes in the fronts of the books. And I'd be dead without my notes. I can't do anything without my – you can't remember all that stuff. But it's all plus – my notes are all cross-references things that I write to remember things or so that I could find things. And that's what a scholar is. A scholar is a clerk. It's all a clerical effort. You want to look at Diodorus and what he said about certain people, and Strabo and what he said about certain people, and Herodotus and what he said about certain people, put it together. And that gives you a linear history. And a historian is only a clerk. That's all a historian should be. And you could make your comments, but your comments have to be distinguished from the historical facts that you're trying to present. And the historical facts should be cited. When I say something, I write who I got it from.
But you see, scholarship is not acquainted with Christianity, in quotes, if I could say that.
Right, and because the Jews in the church have done that. They don't want people examining.
No.
When people start examining, they realize that the Jews are full of it and the church is lying too.
Yeah, that's it.
They want to separate scholarship from Christian. Oh, all you need is faith.
Yeah. But no intelligence. That's too dangerous.
No,
for
you don't need anything. Just listen to us. Just have faith and listen to us.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? That's not faith.
No.
Yeah, that's right. You have to search for it yourself. Yeah. And you find it in today's time. Just search for it and you will find it. It's there. That's the lucky thing for the wisdom at the end of the times. We are getting more and more wisdom. It's there. It's available. You can grip it. It's there. But on the internet, you have to be careful. We're also there. There's a lot of information they want to have that you're believing in. So you have to search for the books. That's right.
Right.
And I'm also thinking about buying
Ivan
his talk. Yeah, correct.
I don't take anything right off the internet. I knew that back in 95, but I mean, you can't do your research only on the internet. I mean, it's nice to look up commonly known things. Yeah, you know, like when Strabo was born or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you got to be so careful on the internet because it's all propaganda. I mean, Wikipedia is pure propaganda.
It's a propaganda. They call it
Jewish outfit, isn't it?
Well, right. But I mean, most of the major sources of information on the internet are heavily influenced by the Jews. And then other sources that aren't, you really got to examine them closely, and you're better off just going to get the book. I mean, you could use the internet to steer you where you want to go.
But
you better if you're going to really study something, you should probably go get the book. And let me tell you something. When I started reading history books, it took me about 6 months of studying to figure out what to read because I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't know and where I was in a place where it was hard to get information.
Yeah.
And it took 6 months for me to figure out what I wanted to read and make a list out. And that's what I did. And over the subsequent 10 years, I read it.
Best way there is.
Yeah.
So could you more or less get any book you wanted in prison, or did you have to
buy
it?
But, I was at the mercy of my family and not wanting to burden them too much and ordering this book here and that book there. And you're only allowed to have 5 books, but I usually had about 100.
How'd you manage that?
Well, one thing I did was I rented space out in other inmates' lockers and basically paid them a couple of bucks a month to hold some of my books. I'd swap once in a while when I needed books, or I'd go get them when I needed them and put them back.
Yeah.
I always had about 50, 60 books in my own locker.
Oh, that's enough.
I'm telling you, every time I sent a book home, I needed it a few weeks later, I swear.
Yeah.
I sent Tacitus home, and a month later, I was having Tacitus mailed back in, and the only reason I was able to do that was because it was softcover. Because you could only get hardcover books from the publisher. They'd only let you have hardcover books from a publisher, and if you sent them home, you couldn't get them sent back in. Stupid prison regulations.
There's a strange regulation here. Yes.
Well, they probably don't like their prisoners becoming too educated.
Maybe.
Well, if you can't get into the police and you can't get into the fire service, you become a prison officer.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, I could have been a Jersey City police officer in 1989, but I had already made sergeant, and I was making a lot more money in the jail.
Oh, that's easier. That's better.
No, it's not easier. It's a lot harder, believe me.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of prison is a stepping stone for a lot of police and administrators and things like that. It is. That's true.
Yeah. You have to do something. Yeah.
Well, Bill, we've still a free man. Hours now, and I know that you're wanting to do other things. So
yeah, well, actually, I promised Mom I was going to cook dinner tonight because it's we're actually going to grill for the first time this year because it is so nice out.
Oh, great!
I promised her. Right.
Are you better?
So your spring's arrived.
It's amazing. I don't know. We've had it. I don't trust that winter's over, let me tell you, because up here, it could snow in May. It could snow in May, no problem. And we have frost. Yeah. We usually can't plant until June 1st up here. Okay? Nothing goes into the ground until June 1st because you could plant and things sprout, and all of a sudden there's a frost and it's gone.
And it's gone, yeah.
Right.
Are you anywhere near the big Rockefeller estate? Is it Pokemon Hills or some name like that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm up in central upstate New York. It's far away up here.
Because they're supposed to have a big, huge estate, aren't they? In a mansion up in the New York Hills.
Oh, you know, most of those Jewish money estates, they're on the other side of the Catskills. They're, along the Hudson River and east of the Hudson River on towards Massachusetts and Connecticut. That's where all the real fancy places are, you know, or down above the city.
Yeah,
Western New York is, it's more like West Virginia than it is like that area.
Okay.
Okay, well, you guys can stay and talk, but I'm going to stop the recording, and I'll see you on April 1st.
Oh!
April the 1st. April Fool's Day in England.
Yeah, that's April Fool's Day, yeah.
Right, and that's what it is, but you know, on the, I put it up this morning because of the confusion. Well, this afternoon when I realized there was confusion, I probably should have had it sooner. If you go to the event calendar on Christigenia, there is an event calendar menu on the right hand, on the lower right hand side. And if you go to the event calendar and look for the next go to the appropriate date for the next forum call, European fellowship call, and click on it.
Yeah.
You'll see you'll see two clocks on it now, a New York time clock and a London time clock. It's on the front page of Christogenia right now if you want to see what it looks like.
I'm just going there.
And it should change with the time zone changes. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So that we don't have any more confusion.
Yeah.
I just did that after 12 o'clock today because of the, you know, I said, man, I should get some time clocks so that
time
it is in New York.
where is it?
When you looked in that for
homepage. Where are we?
Just look at the Christogenia Euro Fellowship call. It's right there. It's right below the blue TalkShoe box.
Right. Oh, I've got it. Oh, yes. That's good.
Yeah, well, they're going to stay there right with this call. Right. Because this call is actually one event in my database, and it's going to they'll go wherever it goes.
I was going to say, Bill, when you logged in at 4 o'clock and saw nobody here, you thought nobody's going to log in, did you?
No, when I walked in and saw nobody here, I remembered the conversation I had last week with Judith when she said it would be 6 there when it's noon here. I knew right away what happened.
I should have copied you into the email that I sent out to everybody, and then you'd have realized that I got it wrong.
Well, it's possible, but it's done.
Out your inbox.
Yeah, I got about 1,100 emails right now. It's incredible. And if I answer 3, I'll get 23. I swear. And I do try to spend some time answering emails almost every day. But it's I got a whole bunch red flagged that have to be answered. And that's after I've eliminated all the junk mail. That doesn't include any junk mail or any troublemaker mail or any of the idiots that constantly send me their garbage. I've already weeded that out. I weed that stuff out when I get it.
Otherwise, I'd have a secretary.
I do. I need a wife that could be a secretary and a cook, maybe.
Put an advert on Christogenia.
Yeah, right. I'm afraid of what I'd end up with, please. No.
You might end up with Arlene Johnston.
Yeah, right. And that's all I need. I'd have to go hang myself.
Right, well, shall we call it tonight?
It's been a pleasure, and I love you all, and I'll see you on April 1st.
Thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you.
God bless. Okay, thank you. Be seeing you. Bye.
Bye.